MAC Powder Kiss Lipstick is matte reinvented. The new matte formula is where matte meets moisture, giving you the zero sign look of a matte lipstick with instant long-term hydration and a weightless, cushiony texture. The velvety soft matte colors glide on effortlessly with a wide range of shades that are sure to complement any skin tone. Head to your nearest MAC location to meet your matte today or shop at MACcosmetics.com.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
You need to get straight. You need a therapist.
You know what you need?
You need a therapist. Put that down. Don't blow that smoke in my face. Be a real one for 1 minute.
Why?
This week, I decided to take it back to basics, right? When we first started this clip of the week thing, okay, the point of it was to dig and, as I always say, unearth gems in the most unlikely of places to excavate. This week, we took it back to that. We found a gem in none other than who I like to call Blackest China, Tokyo Tony, mother of Black China. Now, first of all, I bet you guys didn't know that Tokyo Toni was a mental health advocate. Now you do, because you heard her telling Black China, you need to get some help. You need a therapist. Okay? She does. So that's mental health advocacy. But also, let's pay attention to something that I know you probably didn't even see coming from Tokyo Toni: compassion. Okay. That is the sentiment that I found in that statement, because as you can see, when she was talking to Black China, she told her, be a real woman for 1 minute. Now, most of y'all might, you know, just, you know, toss that for 1 minute phrase off to the side as if it's a less than, you know, worthy, not of value, but it is, because that's the compassion. It's hard to change and make yourself over into a person of fortitude and forthrightness. But that is exactly what she was suggesting to Black China to do. And she said, in fact, do it for 1 minute. That means, you know, just give it a try. You got to show compassion to people and meet them where they're at and encourage them to do better in baby steps. Okay. Shout out to Tokyo Toni, imparting wisdom as only a mother could do. And she may be a mother, but she's a mother first. Okay. So shout out to Tokyo Toni. The hashtag this week is for 1 minute. Okay. Show compassion, give people a chance, offer them help in stages, meet everybody at the bottom. With that being said, and most importantly understood, it's time for this week's QT&As, questions that need answers. Also question that niggas, my word, not theirs, are asking. Three questions, two are related. The first two, here we go.
Oh God.
Is it true that the real reason that off White Walker, on beat dancing anomaly, Adele took that pic at the Grammys a couple years ago with her leg out of the slit of that dress, okay? Is the real reason that she did that to let us know that she washed her legs? Is that why she did it? It's question one.
No, you can't.
Y'all remember that leg
pic? White Walker.
Yeah, she's an off-White Walker designer, baby. Okay. Question two, since we're speaking of Adele, is it also true that she named her first album 19, because that's how old she was when the first Black person saw her dry leg ass come out the bathroom and said, you nasty. Is that why the album was named 19? Okay. And that's when she turned it around and started washing them legs.
My God.
Question three.
Why?
And I know you guys are going to love this one, okay? Is it true that at this past week's MTV Movie Awards in sunny Los Angeles, California, when the cast of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta won Best Reality Series and the Jersey Shore cast showed visible kosher saltiness, rapper G Herbo was standing outside in the smoking area, smoking a cigarette and watching the broadcast, and said, flicked his cigarette to the ground and stomped it at the same time and hit the foot of the young lady next to him when she was stomping her cigarette, and then slowly looked up at current OWN network starlet Bianca Lawson. And they both cleared their throats and then walked inside. Is it true? Y'all know G Herbo and Bianca Lawson look alike.
No.
Thank you so much. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and most importantly, mental hygiene. Okay? Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? I know I don't. I know no one else does listening or in this room. Hello, Francesca. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And guess what else I am?
What?
Done with the QTNAs.
Thank the Lord.
It was quick this week, wasn't it? I'm doing better.
Someone tweeted that the QTNAs are the most profound part of this podcast.
That Honor City.
You should feel honored.
That's oh my God.
True, because I'm mad that I low key wonder if Bianca Lawson and G Herbo do look alike.
Lawson and G Herbo do look alike.
Dustin, you have a black business for us this week, huh?
I sure do. Shout out to the home team. This is actually someone that I know from high school. I went to high school with this young lady. Her name is Chantel, and she's currently living in Chicago, Illinois, but she's running a very successful hair salon and actually luxury hair company. I know a lot of people wear bundles. You know, everybody knows that some of the best black hair care stylists, okay, and hair care professionals are in the Midwest. So this is coming straight from the source, the good water, y'all. Shout out to Chantel Harvey. She actually runs a company called Bundles Luxury Hair Company. It's beauty, cosmetics, and personal care. Like I said, it's located in Chicago. The website that you can go to is actually her Instagram, which would be the easiest way for you to contact her and their company and actually get a sampling of A, the styles, B, the quality of the hair, things like that. It's kind of like you got to see it to believe it. So you can visit her Instagram at Bundles Luxury Hair Co., which is short for company. It's just like it sounds. Bundles Luxury Hair Co. on Instagram. Show them some love. Black owned beauty professionals and black hair care company and black hair company for all your needs. So if y'all want to look good and pay it forward and backward since it's black owned. This is your move.
Stand up Chicago.
It's really sweet of you to do that for your friend.
Yeah, you know, home team, baby. You gotta you gotta look what you say kind of system it was, friend. Eco. There we go.
Are you guys ready to jump into the recap?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So on last week's episode titled Glorification of Busy, we discussed where one finds the time to even learn about themselves and make the important changes we've been discussing in the previous episodes in an era where being as busy as humanly possible is glorified. As always, those of you listening had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Camila. Everybody, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com if you want to give us your notes from last week and all that jazz. She actually had some recommendations towards the end of this, but the subject is glorification of busy, the title of the episode. And she says, this episode reminds me of the phrase, break the chain. I believe many people come from families and live in communities that celebrate endless work. And not just 9-to-5 weekday work, but working multiple jobs, tirelessly, and with tunnel vision. We get to show off how busy we are, but sooner or later we find out we're not fulfilled or happy. To your point, I believe there's a generation of U.S. citizens waking up from the social construct that we need to work over 40 hours a week with meager vacations until we're 65 years old. As we break this cycle, some people will judge, question, and criticize seemingly unconventional choices, i.e., taking a multi-month vacation. I know firsthand, 2 years ago, I quit a lucrative marketing job at a Fortune 30. I took a 2-month sabbatical traveling Africa and Europe before I started nursing school. I just graduated with a master's degree, and while I am excited to start a career in healthcare, I'm prioritizing connection and fun going forward. I truly love this podcast because I believe mental health is fundamental to living a loving and well life.
Right.
Thank you all for your thoughts and laughter. And then she also gave us a couple of book recommendations.
Jesus Christ.
You already know what it's going to be already. So yeah, thank you so much for Camila for writing us. And she has a 770 phone number on there. So, you know, ATL, stand up. But then that's all I have here. What about you, Fran? What did you find in those SoundCloud streets?
So Live in Love said, thank you so much for this. I'm having the stage of my life much younger. I'm only 22. Wow. At 22. And I moved from DC to Miami for grad school. I've been working full time and going to school full time, and I have been miserable. It was recently that I was like, did I move to Miami to be stressed? I haven't even gotten the chance to explore all that Miami has to offer because I've been so busy. So I decided to take a break from school, which forces me to graduate a whole year later. And I feel so bad about it, mind you. But I will be getting my master's at 24 instead of 23. I feel like the worst person ever, but I know I need time to be. This confirmed everything I have been telling my family and friends. Much love. Imagine, she feels like the worst person ever for getting a master's at 24.
The OA, wow. Like that show, the OA, the overachiever. That's what she is. Baby, you winning.
It, though. Yeah. You know, it's hard to break out of that programming, like the email Camilla. That Asante just read. I remember when I was on that podcast, Latina to Latina, and she asked me.
Say it again, friend. I love it when you say it. Say it, friend.
No.
Do it for the vine.
And she asked me if I ever feel guilty with my calmer approach to business. Mm-hmm. When I think of my mom and everything that my mom sacrificed for me to be who I am. And I'm like, my mom loves how much I prioritize myself and my body and my mental health. Because she's like, I wish that I could have done that. I did that so that you wouldn't have to, not so that you would continue it, because my mom is exhausted. She's just now getting to live. And sometimes I think about that, even when we're saving our money, retirement, my mom and I have this convo all the time where she's like, isn't it sad that we're saving and stacking so that when we're 70, we're good. But it's like, how about what today. Things I want to do now? I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's this element of wait, save, wait. And I get it. You do have to protect yourself you're older, but I think the way that this society is constructed, it doesn't really allow for you to be present.
Yeah.
You're always worried about the next move. You know?
Until you old, and then you be present, but you just be sitting there. So is it really worth it, friend?
What'd you find in the streets, Justin?
Okay. Two quick, short, good ones, right? The first one comes from @Kate2Lynn, K-A-I-T, the number 2-L-Y-N, who said that she needs to be extremely hot for a funeral tomorrow morning at which several personal enemies will be in attendance.
What?
I thought that was a tweet of the century. So that's what she said. She got to look good at the funeral because a bunch of her enemies going to be there. Okay, second tweet goes to...
Wow. Really think about. So it's like...
It struck a chord with me. Okay. @PaidInFilm, PAIDINFILM, he said, and this is all lowercase, and then the last word has an uppercase. It'll make sense when I read it. It says, Drake is a rapper and an actor, .. Raptor.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Tweet of the century. So both of those I just felt needed the shine. Shout out to y'all for knowing how to send the right tweet out. That's all I got to say. Aww. That's it over here.
I'm gonna miss Twitter.
Oh, Asante. You're not on Twitter anymore.
Alexa, play Father, Never Coming Back.
I mean, you still have the If I Were a Rapper Twitter, it's better to just have a business one.
Just talking about music on there, leaving all the other stuff alone.
I'd prefer that, honestly.
That's what it's going to be, right? Until Twitter finally says we were being assholes, I'm leaving that account where it is. they said I can have it back when I delete the tweet, but it was just High Hood Rat. If I was actually trying that day, I could get it. But all I said was High Hood Rat to someone that follows me back. We've never had negative interactions. So I'm like, who checks the appeals? Is it another system? This doesn't make sense.
It's clearly someone that doesn't understand the way that we talk.
Well, I already emailed our contacts anyway. And, maybe that something will come of that. But I honestly was like, I'll just leave it if I were a rapper.
It might be a blessing.
Look, what we're talking about being present.
Streamlining, being present, less distractions.
Less tweeting. And more eating. No, I'm saying it's summertime. Shit, I'm about to be out here.
Speaking of summertime, you were partying this weekend, huh?
I was. You was too.
I saw you at Everyday
People. You was too. Oh my God.
Shout out to Mandy.
Everyday People in Brooklyn. Shout out to Mandy. Shout out to my homegirl Dubs. I had a weekend.
And Crystal.
Shout out to Crystal for showing up. A lot of shit happened that night. I almost got into a fight at the very end.
Get out of here.
Man, oh man. Yo, but you I'm happy you weren't there now that I think about it. Because me, when it was about to go off, I just walked away.
Right.
But it was about to get really ugly. So I have to walk away because I'm not actually going to do this. He called me fake and it just turned into a whole thing. He was trying to come at Mandy. It was a whole thing. I was nobody. And that was why I was like, let me just walk away. I can't get lost because of a stranger. I can't do that.
We just talked about that in the cheat codes episode.
Yeah. And when I tell you, Haas must have been right there, spraying something or waving something.
You can hear Haas saying, how much of your energy currency do you want to spend on
this? She astro projected right next next to me, Fran.
Yeah, but Fran, you just said we can't just save. We gotta enjoy ourselves while we're here. And so slap
on. Yeah, I would have enjoyed that. Ooh, I would have enjoyed that. But yes, I had a great weekend. Fran, I see you was out too now, Fran. You know,
I did. I went to Grits and Biscuits. Yes. Shout out to that.
Matt, we was in the same building at different corners.
Right. I went with Cheska Lee because it's her friend's event. And I was like, yeah, I'll roll, which, you know, social summer. I'm trying to be out.
Yes.
So I got cute. And a lot of you were there.
A lot of people were there.
Y'all looked surprised to see me, and I too was surprised to be there. So it was a combo. But I did have fun though. It was really cute.
Yeah,
Grits and Biscuits was lit. It was nice bumping into y'all. Yeah, it was a pretty good party.
I love the DJ set because you know it was
Rick
actually
Ross,
the
OT Genesis.
Oh, so the performance set. Yeah, that was fucking lit. When it started off. Oh, Casanova was the first that came out. Then Partisan Fontaine. Then OT.
Partisan was
there. Yeah, he was there.
I must have gotten there after.
Backing it up. Yeah, because after him was when OT Genesis came out. Okay. And did his
That's
set.
When I pulled up.
And when I tell you a set, he was fucking that shit up. And I'm pissed that I left right when Rick Ross showed
a set.
Up.
Right.
So mad that happened. But yeah, it was a great weekend, great event. Can't wait to go to another one.
Nice. Are you guys ready to jump into this week's episode?
Mm-hmm. Let's start the process.
So we have a special guest, Shannon Bouya.
I never know with podcasts when you're supposed to like jump out the cake. There's no video, right?
Hey, jump out the cake anytime. Okay, shit, we live for that type of excitement.
What's up, Shan Booty?
Hello. I'm so sad that our last time together was not recorded. It was such a great conversation.
Magical.
Do you know that that was, of all our live shows, that was my favorite?
That was an amazing show.
I thought
show.
It was going to be recorded.
No.
I'm like, I'm going to get this afterwards. It's going to go on my reel. I'm going to send it to Oprah. And it was just for the guests there.
No, and that was our biggest show. I think we had like 600, 700 people in the audience that night. Half of it was our friends.
Yeah.
But it was a great conversation. It stuck in my brain. And I was like, we have to get an episode with Shan. Obviously, it took a while because that was like, what, 2 years ago or something?
That was definitely not 2 years ago.
No.
Don't lie on me.
It wasn't?
It was a year.
It was
max.
A year. Yeah,
about a year and a half,
year, I think.
Because it wasn't last year.
No, it was a year before last.
Right, it was in 2017.
Oh,
because
okay.
It's 19. Yeah. Okay, Mm-hmm. I was thinking 17. I was like, last year.
No,
I'm still 2017.
Yeah.
It was a very nice year for me.
A lot of shit going down.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
But Shan, you have a book coming out. So you have a book with HarperCollins by the title of Game of Desire, 5 Surprising Secrets to Dating with Dominance and Getting What You Want. And it comes out July 23rd, right?
July 23rd comes out. It's on pre-order right now.
Congratulations.
Pre-orders matter. I didn't know that before.
Where can they go to get them? Let's put that out there right now.
Anywhere books are sold. But if you go to thegameofdesire.com/letsgo, then you can submit your proof of purchase in order to get a bunch of free perks from me, ranging from a phone call to a 1 hour. Sit down, also a vibrating necklace. So it's worth it.
I have mine
to pre-order in advance.
Yeah.
I brought one more if anyone
You know what's crazy?
I brought one more today.
I was actually gonna say, I have always loved that necklace. It don't serve no purpose for me, but I would love one.
On the nutsack, it could be quite nice.
Come on,
it could
Shannon.
Be quite nice.
I would like
cake.
To see it.
Yes.
You
okay.
said you had an extra one.
I do. You want it right now?
Oh, if you got it for me, I believe you. We don't got to do it right now.
Okay. Yeah, you can test it out later.
We ain't doing that.
I know my chair rotates.
She ain't here for that
Jesus
now.
Christ,
she ain't here for that now.
Come on now. So can you talk to us a little bit about the book? I read the first 15 pages.
Yes, friend. I gave you all the research. I was like,
gave me the research. You threw it at me. I was like, all right, let me make sure I read it because y'all know Shan be breaking shit down. So I read it. Amazing. So you came up with five... What is it? Like a five
like a
program?
Five-step program.
Five-step program to dating.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 6 women?
Yes.
That were kind of like your study.
I love
book.
This quiz that we're having right now. These are all correct.
Thank
Do we have
you.
Some chimes
I'm
in here?
So good.
Ding, ding, ding. This is all correct. Yeah. So it's both a story of my 6-month process with women and the ridiculous and wonderful things that happens when 6 women come together and spend that much time together on that kind of topic. And it's also a self-help book with a bunch of information, tons of psychology, tons of foolishness, lots of vaginal fluids in there. It's a really it's an interesting read, if nothing else, I would hope.
I'm excited. I mean, it sucked me in. No pun intended.
Good. Suck it up.
No, it really did. I was like, I don't know.
I actually give a shout out. One of the girls in the book, Deshawn Samad, is such a fan of this podcast.
Oh, she knew
I was coming on before I did. I feel like she's like, you're on next Monday. Like, you're going to be on the podcast. So she's really, really hype about it. And I think that this is the moment that she realized that I'm somebody.
Oh, that's it.
Like, I'm just like her, like, nobody, like, mentor. And, like, now I'm like,
listen, no one can gas you like Sham Booty.
Okay. Shout out to Deshawn.
Shout out. That's awesome. So where did you meet these women?
So I didn't. I put out a call out on social media and LA. Like, what's your guys' biggest markets like in terms of?
I'd say LA, New York.
Atlanta
for sure.
LA is not a strong suit for me for whatever reason, but I didn't think I would get a big response back. I got an overwhelming response. And so I interviewed 300 women who were all like, yo, I need something different.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I really want to get into the driver's seat of my love life. I want to figure this out. I want to feel like I can actually get the happily ever after, whatever that connotation means to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I interviewed 300 and then I found women who I thought would be a perfect fit that were diverse in looks, diverse in issues. Diverse in jobs and also diverse in their needs and outcomes. And so some women are queer. Some women were looking for an open relationship. Some people were looking for their long-term lover. Others just wanted to go on a date, period. So it's an interesting mishmash of people. Mm. I think everyone can find like their person in the book.
And I noticed in the book, you mentioned a dating apocalypse.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, like statistically, we're in a dating famine. We're in that.
Famine, y'all.
It's like 80%. So 80% of matches do not lead to a long-term relationship. It's like majority of people, of course, we wait longer to get married.
Yes.
There's a ratio.
She pointed at me when she said that. Yeah.
I mean, it's me too. Fuck. I'm not going to be an early anything, right? I'm going to be a late everything in life. And that's, it's okay.
Cheers
but
to that.
Yes. And late and lovely.
And I don't give a damn, but go ahead. Late.
There's more women who are college educated, 3-1, in some cities, 4-1. And so finding a mate, if you are heterosexual, statistically is like, there's a book called Datanomics. It's all about why New York and LA and major cities, it's like the numbers are just against you.
Damn.
You know, sexual assault is rising. Yeah. STIs had a spike in 2017 with chlamydia. Ooh, syphilis had a resurgence. And so it's a really tough time to be out there. But just like in 2008, when we had the crash, some people, of course, lost everything and some people thrived in that market.
Yeah.
There are still going to be people who learn to maneuver within the landscape and still find their dating feast. And so I'm saying
thank
people,
you.
I know it's shit. You're not wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say women are crazy and it's just you and come on, like just try harder.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to affirm you. You are not wrong. It's a very tough time out there, but that's the reality. What are you going to do? Complain on Twitter endlessly or find a strategy to work so you're one of the few who's actually getting what they want in this climate.
Amen, Shan.
You got to use what you got to get what you want.
Yes, yes, quote.
Players Club, sorry.
Not Players Club.
Legendary. Right.
Now, you put out a quiz.
Yes, I'm so excited. You guys all do it?
Mm-hmm. You know I made them do it. I text them, like, take Shan's quiz.
Do the quiz.
So they took it. We all took it. Look at them. They're pulling out their results.
Yeah, I'm going to pull out, get up my assets and data. Okay.
Well, you were asking people their relationship structure.
Yes.
Like, kind of getting an idea of what is their ideal or what they aspire to. I'm not sure exactly how
it's
you would
ideal
it.
Current.
Okay. Because
I think we tend to personalize someone's relationship structure so much, right? So if we get to know somebody and they're like, I'm just into something casual, we're like, it's me. They don't like me. Wherein for a lot of people, it's almost a part of their sexual orientation. It's just what makes them feel good. It's how they want to position themselves in the world right now. Null and void of you. It's just like, that's truly what their best case scenario is for who they are.
Yes.
So I think they're having these things.
Dusty is so excited about this.
Yeah. I want to like take some stabs at like what you guys are. I know I yours already.
Well, yeah, I sent it to you.
Yes. Which I was surprised at that.
Were you?
Were you surprised?
I wasn't. I think there's a part of me. Okay. So the structure that I pulled up was free. It was free relationship.
And if you're free.
And it was like, I'm DTF. Not DTF that way, but down to figure it out, as Shannon so eloquently put it.
Well, that's DTFI. Oh, yeah. Shit. Whoa. That's different.
That's good.
Right. International.
You know when people have acronym names like DREAM and it's like do everything rarely awesome?
It's not really pushed it.
Or Adidas.
Yeah.
No, but I... So that got that. And I thought it was pretty accurate. It said I was down to figure it out with my partner. So if that meant we are going to explore monogamy, then we'll explore it. If that means we're going to play around with being swing. Why are you laughing?
Because
already?
Low key, I thought I would have got something along those lines. And I kind of did, but not really. But we'll get back to me later. Continue.
If it's going to be swingers, if we're going to be polyamorous. And I thought that's so interesting because I have been in relationships where we've discussed it. Mm-hmm. The issue that I've run into, I'll use one relationship as an example, is that he expressed being interested in exploring an open relationship. And I was like, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. So I like that. I'm the kind that likes to be uncomfortable.
Oh, I love that.
Because I like to be triggered in a way. Because I'm like, okay, that's letting me know where I need to like pour into myself a little bit more. So that's how I took it. I was like, let's do it. Let's explore it. This makes me uncomfortable. I hate it already. Awesome. We tried it. Because that's how I grow, you know? And so we discussed it and it was cool. You know, I was like, the communication, that was felt so healing. It was like, oh, look, that's all it takes. As long as I still feel connected and respected and loved, I realized that I can do and expand myself way farther than I assumed I could if I just had that as a foundation. But then the issue was he was still lying.
Oh, I thought you said he was a great communicator. I was
he
like,
was. It, that's what was so
selective
confusing.
Communication.
A select, and then there was omission.
Are you communicating lies? You did it. Yeah.
That's
good
the thing. He wasn't lying. He was omitting. Mm-hmm. And so me having to find out from other people things that I thought we had kind of established was going to be communicated between us was a buzzkill.
It is a buzzkill, but I think we have to give grace to that because we live in a society that has told a very specific narrative about love for so long. And to overcome that programming takes a lot. Right. Even when you think it's okay, there's still that part of you in the back of your mind that's watched every movie up until this point that says that you're a shitty person.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't love in the way that Julia Roberts does. And so I give grace for people who still can't do it well because... I mean, we used to send adulterers off to different islands. We used to stone them to death, mm-hmm. right? Like there's been a lot. Every conversation we hear about people like that is really negative and damning. And so I think there's a lot of healing within themselves that has to happen. So I was thinking that he had gotten past all that.
I mean, I was excited.
Not.
Yeah. But I will say what drew me to even entertaining that dynamic with him was because I remember early on when he was discussing it, he was so... I could see that he was like, wow, this is someone who's like willing to hear me out. And I wasn't trying to possess him. I was really more like, let's see what works for us. And I saw how it kind of melted him, you know, like his shield came down and I felt
a
like
neutralizer girl.
And I felt like, we could connect on a really cool way. And I was like, this is awesome to see someone for who they are and not try to like make them be something I need in the relationship. It was new for me.
Were
new
you
for
the
him.
First person to give him this space though?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You were the guinea pig.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said that he was like, I've never met someone that I could just like have this kind of convo with. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There is a grace in that, but it also kind of made me sad. Cause I'm like, damn, we could have like really explored this.
Yes, I know. Because grace is one thing until you got to give grace for pain that's been inflicted on you.
Right.
Right. If someone comes to you and says in advance, like, hey, I tend to bite when I get drunk. You're like, OK, cool. Now that I know that. But if afterwards we have this conversation when I'm bit up, right? That's when it's like harder for me to have empathy for you.
Right.
It's difficult for me to like really be there for you.
Exactly. And I skedaddled off of that one. The second opportunity I had, I realized he wanted to be open, but I wasn't included in that openness. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute. So what kind of relationship is that where like you're open and I'm not?
Also just like, so like.
He was cool with it until it came to me exploring.
Right. Okay.
Then it was like, wait, I don't want to play
that?
No more.
Well, yeah, shit.
And so that was interesting to me too. Cause I'm like, this is so funny. So that's why the free relationship, me getting that as an answer or as a result rather made sense, but I can't say that I've ever really seen it happen.
Yes. I mean, at the bottom of that description is basically like a be careful what you wish for warning, because it is saying that when you say that you're free and you're open to things, people start to maybe do or try things outside of your comfort zone faster than maybe you would, because you put it on the table, you're down for
anything, whatever.
Figure it out. And that also, you saw that happen with their partners where they're like, yeah, I want open. And they're like, oh, no, I didn't mean that open. I meant like the kind of like a barn door, just one direction. Right. I didn't mean it would go both. And so, yeah, this, what's important about this is not just examining what you want in a relationship, what you want out of life in general. And that takes sacrifice, because maybe you do want openness, but it's really important that your partner is closed. And so that's when you have to make some type of agreement. What's the word I'm looking for?
Agreement.
Some kind of compromise.
But I know the words you're looking for. It's on the tip of my tongue.
We're not all going to be in the ideal relationship structure for us.
Right.
Because relationship takes two people. And so you could say you're free, but you get together with somebody who's monogamish, and maybe that's not quite what you're looking for, but there has to be some type of meeting in the middle.
Right.
So it's important to know yours, but it's not the be all and end all, because there's another person obviously involved.
Like striking vipers. What about you guys, striking vipers? What'd you get?
Well, I got the...
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve on demand from your favorite restaurant. And the restaurants come directly to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and a Dasher will bring it to you anywhere you are. Not only is the burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities, all 50 states, and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. Again, that's promo code THEFRIENDZONE for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Well, I got the, I'm getting ready to tell you right now. I got serial non-committed dating.
Wow.
In other words, he has an icebox where his heart used to be.
Yeah.
No. I'm just kidding. He's like a situationship person. You are the relationship experience.
Yes. And I talk about this often. It made perfect sense, Shambooty. I said she wrote this with both cheeks. No, I'm just playing. But seriously, it made perfect sense, because the more that I live and like experience certain things in my dating life and my personal life, I learned the value of just established connections with people, right? And the fundamentals of like our engagement with one another. That's what's important to me. I also know, like, on a surface, like petty, selfish level, I like to feel like number one. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's validating for me. I only know first class treatment. You know what I mean? Both ways. That door, that's a saloon door. You know what I'm saying? It's swinging both ways. I know I'm going to treat you. I'm going to, you know, adore you. I'm going to dote on you. And every minute that I'm with you, you know, we're going to really just immerse ourselves in that experience. And then we live our lives. And it works for me as long as I don't see anything else go on.
Where do I sign up? That was just communicated so beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you, Shan. I'm trying. I'm
beautiful.
Really trying out here. It's so comforting once you have an understanding of like these processes in your dating life. And once you can articulate these feelings and thoughts, it's just, I don't know, it's freeing for me. So I do know that it's important for me to have a mutual respect. It's important for me to be, just for somebody to have a general reverence for me as that person in their life. And so when I took the quiz, I went through like my texts or whatever, and I was just seeing like what was really reflected in the way I was communicating with everybody that I've been communicating with. And when I tell you, it was spot on. The analysis was literally spot on. But the relationships in my life that are special to me, that I kind of like covet, I guess, these are all very personal. Like every time I thought about the people that I was in these sort of relationships with, we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a very specific love or a very specific, you know, emotion that we understood. It's esoteric in nature. It's just about like me and that person.
But you don't consider it polyamory?
No. because we don't all go together, and they're definitely not fucking each other. So no, ain't none of that. You know, we ain't made it. We ain't even in them terms. We just, it's me. You know what I'm saying? You get me, you get me. Right. Yeah. It's like sun rays. That's what I like to, you know how the sun has the rays that extend out?
Yeah.
I am the sun. So, you know.
And you're okay with them seeing other people.
I'm not okay with it, but I know that it happens.
You're
yeah. So it's something that I have to be aware of. I had a very harrowing experience Memorial Day weekend. Someone that I love and they love me to death, but they didn't know I saw them, but I saw them like engaging with somebody else and it literally like fucked me up. I ended up, engaging with someone else too. You know what I'm saying? Because I had
a petty fuck.
Hey, and you know, and it was. It was, you know, I became fruitful. I'll just say that. So I, it worked out in my favor. And I had, again, one of those experiences where it was all about that connection. And so I was fortified. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, it's still, I was visibly and physically moved when I saw that. And so we was just talking yesterday, me and the person, and I just was like, they could tell that something was kind of off because, you know, and even though you can send all the affirming things that you want post that experience, I just remember that. And my male ego is like fluorescent. And so, you know what I mean? And I recognize it. And so it's something that I protect. And I also try to be fair with it. Mm-hmm. You know, the same things that I want, you guys know this too. Same things that I want, I pour out. And so it just, that's why these relationships work. But I'm just going to shut the fuck up because that's all I got.
That was awesome.
No, that was good. What do you mean?
And I think it's like...
I can't say too much because then the people that listen that I might...
That was so affirming.
They know what's going on.
They know. It's so clear. Because you know what it is? Again, like it depersonalizes it.
Yeah.
It's not like they... You know, he doesn't love me enough, doesn't want me. It's just like, this is the way that I express my love. This is what I'm looking for. And whether it would be you or someone else, this is what I feel best like reflects what I'm looking for to love and to be loved on this planet. And it comes with compromises.
Yep.
It's not a selfish experience. Like you said, you still got to make really big compromises in there and constantly manage your own feelings. It's not.
Which I like actually, Shannon, because I like to be a person who is like trained and conditioned when it comes to controlling, like harnessing my emotions and just anything when I'm in the moment. I like to be able to think first and then act. As long as I can stay like a couple steps ahead of myself, I'm cool. So even though it's kind of like, it's like blunt force trauma sort of, like it works because it forces me to condition myself and to make sure that my muscle is always being exercised when it comes to like dating smart. And it's the weirdest balance between being like led by emotion and by that feeling and intimacy, right? But then also being strategic because you've experienced the not so fun end of it. I know that I don't want to do that. So to avoid that feeling, I just operate this way to make sure that the experience is great for us both. Does that make sense?
How often do you find yourself having to remanage expectations?
Okay, I guess from others, like what I expect from others.
And vice versa. Like, hey, just so you know, or like when you start to see advancements in intimacy, how are you clear like the expectations should still be the same on you?
That's been the story of my life. I can remember being in kindergarten and being the one that had introduced the class to saying cuss words on the low. And then everybody wanted to come and talk to me when it was time to cuss. And I had to manage all that. Like, hold on, y'all can talk to each other. Ain't nobody gonna tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't just me, the cool. Nah, but I've like, since I've been like dating and stuff. You know, like since I've been dating, I've always had to manage expectations because first I was sneaking around. And so I only had limited, you know, contact with certain people. So I couldn't necessarily nurture and grow relationships and bonds. So I had to come up with lies all the time because I couldn't say, hey, by the way, my mom and them don't know I mess around with niggas. So
yeah,
we gotta keep it. You know, that's not attractive. So I was forced to learn, I guess, how to be persuasive and sort of honest that way. Mm. And it's just been a balancing act ever since. The only times that I've ever been settled were in the two actual relationships that I've been in. And rest in peace to those. So
they were beautiful.
Yep. And were.
They were.
Were.
That's amazing.
I have nothing negative
words
to say.
Yeah. Over never was.
Nothing negative to say. I think
I have
when people
pictures to prove it.
Okay.
But when you, to me, and I don't have any regrets, to me, when people like trash, well, not when people, I don't ever want to trash anyone that I'll publicly acknowledge as my companion or my partner or whatever, because I feel like that's you know, shitting on my own decision making. I don't have anything negative to say. 100%. We just, you know, we just made a decision to move on. And so that's what that is. I wish everybody the best, you know, and I'm excited about all the great connections that I've been able to make, you know, after those separations. So I'm just here to have a good time and an authentic time. You know what I'm saying? I love meeting people, Shan. You know what I'm saying? And I just, I look forward to all that.
You should do a full ass episode because there's so many people who are engaging with people who are casual, non-committed and have no idea how to feel or what how they're supposed to feel. Like there's so many incredible questions because this is where situationships are born out of.
Yes, it is.
And that's like the millennial way, but we're still, it's a new space that we're really navigating. It's like, are you looking at it? Is it a pit stop for you or is this where you see yourself feeling really good for an extended period of time?
At this point, the decisions that I'm making are based on past experiences as well as like wisdom. I'm kind of at the like, if you know better, you do better stage of life. So I feel like this is long term for me. Like, yeah, I think I'm 10 toes down with this one.
I love it.
Yeah.
Asante.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. What was your, what were your results?
How y'all doing today? No, I'm just kidding. Modern monogamous.
Oh, wow.
What?
Right. That doesn't that seem a little weird?
I am fascinated.
But, you know, the text in the bottom, you know, it tells you that it might not always equal, you know, you would leave it even if it's divorce, if the shit ain't perfect. So I was like, I do like to leave. So, you know, fearful yes. avoidant actually was the answer before the last question. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that, but me and dating aren't really seeing eye to eye right now on like a me responsibly dating. Like I'm not like looking for anything, whereas I feel like people are kind of ending up in my court and I'm deciding whether or not I want to waste my time. And I think it's my fault because every time I go into the court, it's like, oh yeah, this is a waste of my time.
Oh, that's a perfect fearful avoidance sentence though.
Thank you. Thank you yes. so much. Yes.
It's a classic.
So yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
So you're just one person thing. At a time.
So yeah, but no, that's low-key why I was weird that I got that because over the past couple of years, shout out to my homegirl Fatima. She introduced me to the unicorn lifestyle. So I dated couples, but I realized going into that, it was selfish because I like to go on a date with a couple and then be gone. Like, it doesn't even have to lead to sex or anything. Like, having a good night with people, drinks, laughing, being a little, you know, cozy, and then be like, all right, well, I get to leave. Y'all can enjoy your relationship. Had a great night with you guys and your dual income. Like, because I like people, so I like, yes. so I'm really good at like, so when moments. She first told me, about, yeah, you know, when she first told me about
like
this,
people.
Which, well, it's funny, I like people when I hate people too, so it's kind of this weird thing, but when
spiritual
I'm out,
avoidant. Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
yes.
thank you,
yes.
see, you already know go. Me, I don't even have to do this. It's weird because she introduced me to an app to meet couples, and I wasn't really into that.
Was it Thruple?
Three Fun.
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
Three Fun.
It's a, nice. It looks like a pair of panties, but it's three corners.
Nice.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Come on, branding.
Which yeah. is weird, though, because I've been on apps as a gay man, but when I'm unicorning, looking for couples, I wasn't really liking the app experience. But a lot of that is, I think I look for different things when I'm looking for somebody, like a guy on an app. In my mind, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to find like the next love of my life or no shit like that, because a lot of the gay apps is a lot of trash on there. So it's really just to have kind of...
That's all apps though.
I mean, and I think that's why with the Three Fun app, I was like, oh, so y'all do this on here too. So I wasn't really into that as much as I really wanted to kind of like meet people that were of that mindset and see what that was like and experience that. And I think it was kind of me seeing if I could take like being polygamous or some shit down the road just to see. Because mm-hmm. I think I have better conversations with men that... I have better conversations with men that don't feel fear. And when it's a man that's with his girlfriend, that's like giving them the power to be free. Those conversations happen so much differently than it, when it's just me and another guy.
What they be talking
like,
about?
I mean, just as far as like being sexually open and stuff like that. So like, since he has permission from his female, you know, counterpart.
Will she be sitting right there? Or
yeah.
just?
Well, yeah, because we'll be like at a, like one... Yeah, a bar, usually a bar, because normally I go out to bars and I'm meeting people. And if a guy's like, yeah, my girlfriend, blah, 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 I'm like, yo, girlfriend. I'm like, oh, you got a girlfriend. And so from there, a conversation will continue. And a few different times it's turned into other things. So talking about like...
Y'all all be doing it or it be you and the guy?
It's never me and the guy. I have rules. So I have rules because I don't like... I have really random rules. I
you
only
act
want
like you had nothing to say, and this is the most interesting.
Because I don't
part.
Want to talk about all this. That's why I was like,
no, come on.
Because I'm still
this
navigating this space
this.
Myself. Because honestly, I'm not sexually attracted to women, but I honestly don't have a bad time when a woman's in the room either. So it is a situation where I make sure that both parties are involved because I understand and respect the fact that they're a couple. And I'm just the third. So if I'm just there for the night, then we all need to have fun for this night. Now, if it's not fun anymore, then I can go because I don't have to deal with this relationship. That's y'all that has to deal with it. So early on in the conversation,
I'm being quiet right now. I am being quiet.
So early on in conversations, I have to kind of establish where they are. Like if y'all are looking for a third, because sometimes people are actually looking and I end up being bamboozled like, oh, y'all were looking for me. I thought I was setting y'all up.
Right.
But I have to, I'm like, okay, so, you know.
And you like that though.
I do like that. I like kind of pretending that I'm not like really, like, I don't really know what's going on. But for the most part, I really do be like not there. I'm like, oh, this is what's happening. Oh,
okay,
shit.
Okay, which one is it? You like the blind side? Like,
no,
Sandra,
I like the blind side because normally it's like I don't want to go into a situation and seem too aggressive because then you're going to turn somebody off somehow. So when we kind of are like our intentions have aligned and then I'm like, okay, so like, you know, why are y'all interested in bringing somebody else in the bedroom or hanging out with somebody else? Like, what's up? And so from there, if the man feels comfortable in front of the woman, then it's something I want to engage in. But if it's like the woman's forcing the man or the man's forcing the woman, like I can always tell that energy before it gets anywhere. So I've never, and it's only been like three, I've never had a bad couple. Like, luckily, it's always been like, cool, we had drinks, we could see each other again. But when it's just one-on-one with another guy, I don't know. I think because I suffer from a lot of communication issues on my end, that's always mirrored in the relationships. Like what friend was saying earlier, she was kind of saying, okay, so this is what it is. We can do this. But then people are like, oh, you said we could do this, but I'm still not going to tell you when I do it. So it's like, well, why are we lying? But I do.
Not if you do it first.
And see, but I don't want to do that. Well, I might be doing it first. I just might have told you about it. So it's
right.
Like,
you got to lie first.
Well, I don't want to lie. That's the problem. The problem is I want to live free.
Oh my God.
And the very end of my thing says something about you're happy as long as the other person's happy and you're happy or whatever. Like, I put everyone else first, but I still maintain my happiness like high above all, even though I'm making like, okay, good. He's happy and I might be sad right now, but honestly, I'll be happier knowing that I can move on. Like whatever the situation might end up being if it ends up bad. But whenever it's like one-on-one and I'm talking about, okay, I'm going to be gone this week. If you get sexual urge to do whatever. And, you know, but just let me know because I need to know who you fucking in case they want to be my enemy or some shit. And then I come back and you're like, oh, I didn't do nothing. But you done ran through like 4 or 5 dudes this week.
Dog.
Then you could have told me about all 4 or 5. I probably would have told you to stop at 1 or 2 maybe. I'd have been like, hey, okay, well, aren't you doing a little much? Just a week. I don't know.
Well, it depends. Create boundaries with each other.
Yeah,
right?
And that's the
thing. Even within the freedom.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's always an ongoing conversation. So like with couples, I've learned more in those situations, in those three couples, than I haven't like dating dudes. I'm like, because you know, I can't speak for everybody, and it might just be me and what I'm attracting, but I be getting dudes that be like, oh, I want your attention so
but
much,
blah,
blah, blah.
But those couples have the practice before.
Oh, yeah, because
they already have a structure of communication.
But the thing is, some of them don't. Like, some of them, when I'm talking to them, and I'll be like, there was a couple, they always had people, but they would always, like, you know, get somebody drunk or come home and pretend it wasn't a thing. They were like, it's so random that we can, like, sit and talk to you about all this stuff, and you're not just somebody we, like, bring it home to bang and leave. Which is funny also because when we are done, I do leave. I'm like, I'm never spending the night. And they're always like, well, where'd you go? Because they think it's going to be like a breakfast and fun thing in the morning between the three of us. And I'm like, it's y'all's relationship. It's y'all's. I'm just here, really. It's weird.
So I don't actually have an option there for unicorning. So
you don't.
I got to slide that in.
But so that's what I'm saying. Like, the one that I got for monogamy, like, when it's me and one guy, it's like, I'm not really doing that right now.
Yeah.
So that was perfect because ideally it would be good to just be with one person and then work through whatever we got going on as it comes. But I find that with couples, and I think it's because I need that feminine energy to kind of let a guy know, like, it's okay. Like, I feel like in a situation where, like, if a woman's open to a man, if two men being in a room, there's something to be said there because a lot of men don't get that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like sexually.
That's really fucking cool, by the way.
Because you know, even on the apps, you deal with so many people that don't put their pictures up because they're afraid of being judged, you know, whatever it is, or they've been told all their lives, like, it doesn't matter if you work a good ass job, you can't never let nobody know you gay. So they have weird conversation on there because they're being stupid as opposed to being like, oh, I could live free here. No one cares. Because you can't. Sometimes people are stealing pictures for whatever reason. Like, sometimes people are addicted to drugs, so they're really, like, in a cloud trying to escape everyday living. And you meet up with the wrong people, you know, you're not aligning. No one's really lining up what they really want. Or I'm not really getting what I want when I'm trying to line it up on the apps, rather. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't use that to date first. I usually just do that to fuck around. So
what are your thoughts on apps for dating?
I mean, it's like a NASCAR, right? It's a really high performance, fast car. And if you know how to drive great. But if you don't know how to drive at all, nah. But it can work wonderfully for you. You just have to be really skilled at maneuvering them. So
I've known people that have used the apps, well, mainly straight couples, and have met people and they've been with them for like 2+ years. And I'm like, well, what's happening here?
Yeah, well, it's so quick. There's so much information. There's so much power. And some people freak out by that. It's like the choice paralysis. One, and then number two, it's like they haven't even like structured what they're looking for. It's kind of like looking for a job on Craigslist. Yeah. Like, what are the chances you're going to find something great, especially if you don't really know what you're great at?
Right.
And so a lot of people don't do any of the work before, jump on those, and then they end up crashing and burning. Mm. But also, too, when people say to me, I don't find people on apps, I'm like, well, you've been alive now for 28 years.
Yeah.
Who you met recently in person?
Right. Right.
Like the ratio of people that you meet out there in the world isn't all that staggeringly awesome either. So it's pick one or the other, pick your poison. I think apps are incredible, but like anything else, like you have to know how to use them. Same with meeting people in person, which apparently you're really good at. Can I just say how awesome this conversation was?
Yeah.
I did not expect it to go in all of these really different
all of these pockets,
educational pockets. Like that was so, so cool to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love them. Cause when I get to hear their stories, I'm always like, oh my God, this is so cool. It's such a study of all the shit that we're going through.
I'm low key mad that we didn't do like a joint horrible decisions episode. Cause me and Mandy were talking on Sunday about a lot of this shit too, like about the unicorning. And
so that's what it's called when you date a couple. It's called unicorning.
That's the term that I've been told. And like,
I've never heard of that.
Cause the second couple, they were like, you're a unicorn? And I was like, what? And my hair wasn't even dyed then. I was like, okay. Well, I don't know what the fuck this means. And then Dub, she broke it down. She was
Yep. I learned something new.
But I don't unicorn with gay couples. Is that fucked up?
No.
Why not? I mean, nuance.
Too much testosterone. Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Mm.
Fair.
I guess it's going to depend on whose roles are lining up in any and everything in those types of relationships. Whereas like the man and the woman, it's never, well, the ones that are unicorn or date unicorns, I feel like it's never like a conventional thing. Like it's always like, you know, we still have our regular ass lives, but this is how we want to live sexually and be free. Whereas if it's like men, it's like, okay, well, who's going to do this or I'm going to do this? No, I'm going to do this. And then there's jealousy sometimes or two going to hang out with one. I always tell couples, like, I'm never hanging out with one of you.
Or like the sneakiness that happens. I always hear stories about that.
Yeah. And some of them, one of them had rules and they were like, well, you can hang out. You just, you know, have to check in or whatever. Because the guy he liked, they had a gay guy that was like their first guy. And he used to hang out with the girl. And they kicked it, and I don't want to tell all their business.
They had a gay guy that was their first guy.
Yeah, they told me that they roped him in. They, like, roped him into the shit. And I was like, oh, okay. And they thought that I was going to be like that. And that's what I was like, oh.
Tell them you ain't in there getting tied up shit.
I've been thinking about that. No,
so they roped you in, too.
But, Shan, I'm curious, because you're married.
Yes.
But you, shout out to
Jared. Congratulations!
Beautiful ass wedding.
Oh, thank you.
You looked like a Barbie.
Yeah, we did it our way. It was really, really cool.
Stunning.
Yeah.
That no the regrets. Sunset, like,
I know.
A dream come
yes,
true.
It truly was.
So, Jared, shout out to Jared Brady, who is also an incredible artist that you should check out. I've mentioned him before on the show.
Friend, we just love you so much.
You know,
I just can't. Like, I don't even want to love fest on you, but there's so few people like you who are just genuinely. Like you're like a flashlight to me.
Oh my God.
You just look
for, I just got you.
Yeah, it's just so.
She a good woman, ain't she, Shannon?
It's incredible. Yeah, it really is.
I appreciate that. And I didn't see that coming.
It's, look at your Twitter. It's like for everybody. Like you really did make this platform for yourself to share it with others. And like, that's just few people actually, that's their true motivation. So thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you,
and for like extending the light this way sometimes.
Of course, that's what we're here for. But what I love about your marriage is that you guys started out as friends with benefits.
Yes.
And then look where it ended.
Yes.
So can you walk us through this?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, as you were telling your story just now, Asante, I was like, it made me really think about, especially for a fearful avoidant, like healthy intimacy is taking one small step being like, how do I feel? How do you feel? What's going on right now? What's the temperature like? Do you want to go back? Do you want to go left? Do you want to go right? Mm. And when you feel like it, then moving forward. Mm. And when you can do that slowly, one, like you build in the communication, two, like you start having those dialogues really frequently as one should, but also you never put yourself in a position where you're apt to be batshit crazy. Like, I think 90% of relationships is just not putting yourself in a position where you're going to be a shadow version of yourself. Ooh, really jealous, preach. Really angry, fearful, really unsure, insecure, anxious, closed up, yeah. Anxious.
Like motherfucking avoidant.
You want to put yourself in a position to be cool, to be the bomb. And like the slower that you go, the better it is. And so I think with he and I, we both are just like, here's what we're capable of right now. I had just gotten out of like a 5-year monogamous relationship. I hadn't had sex with anyone else in those 5 years, but I was studying sexology and I was with a really toxic person. Mm. We were hardly having sex, never orgasming. And so I was learning all this new cool stuff and I had no one to practice it on.
Wow, Shannon.
So as soon as I got out of that, I was auditioning dudes. I'd go over to the apartment, we would make out. Maybe I would get oral. Like I was like, who's good? Like, who am I feeling? And when I met Jared, it was just like this immediate physical connection. I was like, this is the one. Mm-hmm. And we had a really great friends with benefits relationship. That's all he wanted to. And it truly was that. Like I remember my birthday came around. We met in October. My birthday was in April. I didn't tell him about my birthday. I was like, my friend, it's my fuck buddy. You don't have to know about my birthday. And then that same year in June, we ended up moving in together. It was just like the walking and the small steps forward was happening so organically that I didn't even recognize until we were there that's what, and a label for us was something that we chose after we felt safe versus something that we aspired to.
Mm. I know that's right. That's the shit I'm talking about right there.
And I think the key is that you're both emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, like I think that's like we're both secure. So that was a big part of it, too, because you just again, like you have to be honest with yourself. And the reason why I love these quizzes is that it's be real with who you are, what you're looking for right now and put yourself in a position where you can be your best self. And if you know for a fact that being in a friends with benefits is going to trigger your fear of being left or abandonment or your fear of not being enough for somebody, don't do that to yourself.
Right. And or me.
Right. Don't do that. Don't do that to you.
Right.
Don't do it. Don't come around.
Right.
Don't be one of the rays.
Right.
Don't be
right.
one of the rays. So I just feel like we just continuously set ourselves up for success. And there was a lot of things I didn't even recognize in the beginning that like, yeah, he really was the ideal partner for me, but I was not concerned about trying to fit him into that slot.
Oh, that's the best. God, I felt that.
So it was just
chest.
Like a natural progression into what it is now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like say copy and paste that's the way to go because I think that I had to do a lot of like psychological work on myself to make sure that I could manage because nothing creates intimacy like proximity, right? Like that's just sexual bonds are made that way.
Right.
So if you're going to do a friends of benefits, you got to put in a lot of I had to date a lot to make sure that like my biology wasn't getting confused. Like there's many penguins around. I don't need to just march with this one.
Right.
Earth to like my serotonin levels. Like there's we got options and never sleepovers, never cuddling. Friends and family was like a rare thing. And so, yeah, it probably took us longer to figure out that we could be good partners and who knows, we could have lost a connection along the way. So it's not that I would say this is a copy and paste because I could have missed out on something really cool by focusing only on one particular thing for such a long time.
And are you guys in an open marriage or is it like monogamous now?
It's kind of hard. Like we're monogamish. Like I always say, like if you went through my DMs, there's some inappropriate conversations a married woman should not be having.
Hey, no.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's times I'll be on the phone for 3 hours with someone who I think is really intellectually stimulating and kind of hot and he's aware. But have I had sex with someone else? No. Has he? No. Does he have people maybe who he flirts? Do I know what happens in his phone at all? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I also like, I said this as a part of the quiz as well too. Like I'm kind of turned on by the idea of him having his own separate sexual self. Oh, I think it's cool.
Awesome.
But I can only say that knowing the fact that he is somebody who's not going to engage frequently.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the caveat with it. If I was with somebody who, you know, was the son and had a lot of rays and loved the rays, would I be as comfortable? I'm not sure. So it's easy for me to choose this relationship style because it doesn't challenge me that frequently. And it's the idea that we like the most. So I don't like to give myself all this credit. Like, I'm so evolved and like this. Like, I got to deal with some real small stuff. And so far, it's been enough for me. And I like to think I could handle polyamory, but I won't know until I get there.
Wow.
Boy. See, I think that I'm monogamous, and then I get into these relationships, and like Dustin and I always joke, we like moments. I like moments.
Oh my gosh. If I watched Insecure and she got naked with that dude in the pool, I was like,
yes,
I need someone to see me naked for the first time.
Yes.
Sometime in my life again. That has to happen.
You know, it's like, how do you, like, what happened to me, which is what made me start cheating, which obviously I've, you know, still working through that, is because I always feel, why would I give up this moment? Like, let's say Issa in the pool. That's a moment.
Once
why
in
would
a lifetime you give that up?
Because it's like, okay, I have to be loyal. And I get that. I respect it. But I always, like, the moments always trumped my relationship.
Especially if you was getting on my nerves when that moment happened, right? I'm going to give this up to go back here and be miserable with your ass. Take it off! Like, you know what I'm saying? We get in the pool. I agree 100%.
But obviously now that I'm older and have...
Ain't a damn thing changed.
No,
that's right, friend.
No. It has changed because I don't want to lie to anybody.
Right, the moments is upgraded.
No, I'd rather jump into a relationship where we know that moments are allowed.
Yes, that's a
discussion, like Shan was saying. She could be on the phone with someone because he stimulates her, and they, and Jared knows. It's not like you're in the bathroom like, hey, I can't talk right now. Like, give me an hour and I'm going to go. You know, like, I don't want to do that. I don't like how it feels when it's done to me. And so I've learned... through experiencing it, because that's why I was super selfish. I was doing it, and then when it was happening to me, I was like, hell no, you're supposed to be like happy you're with me. What are you
there
talking about?
There is nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, though.
No, I just saw how that was unfair, and it, you know, brought light a lot. I am dismissive, avoidant, working on being more securely attached. So it's something
dismissive
that...
Dismissive avoidants are usually very rich and successful, though.
I mean, hey.
Hey.
Well.
Lonely, but rich and successful.
Ooh, she said them dollars ain't keeping you warm.
Yeah, depending on how expensive that duvet is, they will.
But you know what's funny? Last week's episode was the glorification of busy, where I talked how at this age of 37, I have always defined myself by my work and how hard I was working and my, you know, achievements and milestones. And now at this point, I'm like exhausted.
Yes.
And I noticed that the lack of connection that I haven't made room for in my life and haven't really cultivated, I'm feeling that super hard right now. Like, super hard. Because it's like, what is success if you don't have these beautiful connections in your life to really, like, amplify how beautiful your life is as a whole? Like, I need more well-rounded feelings in my life as opposed to money. And, you know what I mean?
Or a whole bunch of, like, less stimulating connections.
Yes. I agree with that as well, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm exploring. Because now I'm back on the scene. I'm back.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Crispy and clean.
And you know what's crazy? As soon as I said to the universe that I'm ready to date, when I tell you it's like a portal.
The floodgates opened.
Right. I came out of my apartment and there's this fine ass dude waiting for the elevator, and I was like, okay, God, come on. Even on my floor, like, God. And then he turns to me and he was like, every time I see you, you have a different pair of sneakers. Like, he so he initiated, you know, just being cute. He was like, I would love to see your sneaker collection. And I was just like, okay, friend, woo, back in. And now,
baby,
you know what it's turned into? The Janet Jackson video with her neighbor.
Yes, friend.
Now,
that is so cute, though.
Now, every time I hear him coming, I'll, like, look to see if it's him.
Wow, how fun.
But that's what I mean, because if I was in a relationship, I would still want to have that moment.
Yes, you still want to have that moment.
I still want to flirt with him.
Yes.
And you know what's crazy? When I was coming on the train today to head here, he was coming down the street and I, like, was going down the station and saw that he was coming. And I, when I tell you, I walked so fast because I was like, I don't want to talk to him on the train. Like, this is, our thing is the hallway. Like, I don't want us to sit and have a whole train ride. And then I'm gonna be like, aw, you know, this isn't what I want.
This
Let's
ain't
just
part
talk
of the
about
moment.
Sneakers.
That is
but
hilarious.
I'm just, you know
friend.
What I mean? Stay in the hallway, brother.
I don't want to change no lighting. Like, everything needs to just stay where it's at.
Because think about it, especially living in big cities, do you not have moments with, like, pockets of people? Like, I have the gym guy that, like, we just stare at each other. I have the hallway guy now. I have a guy on the train that we always see each other when I'm headed down here. I like it.
You're living a life.
It's just cute. It's energy. I like the energy exchange. Energy. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I also know it's because I'm slowly like coming back into the scene because I've been out of the game for 3 years.
Really?
Haven't dated, been abstaining, and just kind of kept to myself, focused on work, 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 and just haven't. But I was like, okay, something's got to change because that's getting really stale.
And that's so beautiful when you open up that intention, how you're met with that.
Like, it met me quick,
too. At the elevator.
Also, just being privy to it. Like, you know, the whole Aisha Curry thing where she was just like, I don't ever get hit on.
Yeah.
And I was like, who would hit on you? Like, look at the energy you put on yourself.
That's so
the
real.
Energy you put on your relationship. I would think that if I complimented her, she'd be like, excuse me?
Right, right.
I would be, right. You know what I mean? Like, so I'd be funny. Past a Bible, like, pamphlet. I just don't feel like you put that energy, but we're not, we're not conscious of those things. Like, my sister was saying she's married with two kids. She was like, I never get picked up. I am the thirstiest person on the block. Mm-hmm. I see a hot dude, hot women 50 times a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking. And so I'm walking with my sister and she's like, she never gets approached, never gets net attention. I'm seeing so many dudes staring at her, but she doesn't notice. Because it's just not the energy she's putting out
there.
She's
a good woman.
Broadcasting.
Exactly.
That's a good woman.
And to me, I'm like, hello. Like, I look at everybody. I talk to everybody. Like, yeah, I'm pretty thirsty.
That is so funny.
I mean, you need me a sip too. You
know? Yeah.
You need me a little sip every now and then.
But what are some tips for people? Because I actually, you saw on IG stories, I put out a prompt. I was like, you guys, we have sham booty. Outside of the questions that we had, I wanted to make sure we covered the questions that our listeners had so to be well-rounded.
The good ones.
The good ones, right?
Yeah, of course.
And a lot of the questions had to do with how do you bring the conversation to your partner that you've been in a relationship with for a long time when now you're feeling like you want it to be open? How do you bring that up without them being like, bitch? Or taking it personal or feeling like
you about to answer.
I was going to answer, but now I feel like I'm the expert in the house. Like, I can fall back.
You first.
I think what I would do is to me, situations like that are more experiential than they are like conversation based. So I would totally set up an evening where we were definitely out being social. In an atmosphere where we may encounter other people that, you know, we would see that would be good looking. So some sort of bar, lounge maybe, but a very upscale. Because in order for people to get comfortable being freaky, they got to feel like everything is luxe the first time.
Oh my God.
That's common sense. So somewhere upscale and just, you know, have cocktails, absolutely, to kind of, you know, get a little more looser vibe. And then be obviously attentive to my partner and entertain people when they flirt with me. Have my arm around my partner and then be like, you see this shit type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then like they start getting into what's actually happening in the room or other people. You know, you have to kind of like neutralize the awkwardness of outside attention. And then it becomes something that both people are paying attention to and the conversation naturally evolves. And the next thing you know, six legs.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that was so wonderful and specific. I think like what I like about the quiz, right? It's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to go from traditional monogamy to polyamory. Mm. There is a spectrum in between there of like monogamish. And monogamish is even just opening up the idea to flirt with the dude at the Lux restaurant.
See what I'm saying?
It's opening up.
That's what monogamish is.
Monogamish is like, let's go to a strip club together. Monogamish might even be like, let's watch porn together. Like, we're not actually engaging.
Also, it is monogamish.
Right.
Right.
Monogamish. Like,
right,
we still.
It's a little bit like mish.
Mom, my partner's allowed to follow who they want. Right. They can like whatever pictures. Like, go ahead. Like, express your desire for others in a way that makes you feel excited and celebrated and not caged. And, like, let me be a part of that wherever possible. I also think that what people tend to do in relationships is they've had so long to think about something. Like, they have been coming up with this idea that I want to explore other people, and they've thought about this for months. And they want to have one conversation with someone and they're on the same page as you.
Right,
but
it's like,
nah, you had so much time to go through all your feelings, to all the options, to watch 50 YouTube videos and for you to come to a place where you feel confident that this is right for you. And so give your partner that same space. And I love that. Maybe we don't have six legs that night. I mean, that's pro level.
Right.
You know what I mean? But maybe we just go out and we flirt and then we're on the car ride home. I'm like, how'd you feel about that? That was kind of hot to see you in that environment. What do you think? And see where it goes from there. But it has to be a slow conversation. If it took you 6 months, give them at least three.
Agree.
Okay.
And it's weird. You know how I always knew that it was something I want to explore? I would get turned on seeing my partner being desired.
I love it. We were talking about this on Horrible Decisions about, like, would you allow your partner to sell his underwear? I would love if sell there was a dick print of Jared that everyone could experience, like, underwear. I just want everyone to feel, know. Like, to see how I see him. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's such a turn on to me.
Damn, yeah. Safari should have been with you so he would have did his little deal.
Yeah.
Safari, you know, Erica Mena was a champ. We weren't having that.
With the mold.
Uh-huh.
No, but I always found that funny because, if you know, this when I was younger, I'd have partners where my wires would sort of cross because it's like, I'm pissed at you, you cheated, but then there was part of me that was like, oh, that's so cool, like, I want to
look you with him, like, haha, he still got it. No, in the back of your head.
No, in a weird way I would like be angry but mm-hmm. also fantasize about what happened between them.
Yeah, and if you take out the cheating and the lying and the betrayal component of it, that's something healthy you can play with,
right? Which is why I knew, that's what I'm saying. I knew that through the fantasizing, like being like, what? And, you know, I'd be mad, like, tell me what happened. But low key, I was like, I want to know what happened.
Right. Yeah.
So I knew that, you know, it was conditioning that I probably had to work through and then would be able to process those types of situations in a completely different way over time. Asante's always
sorry, my fearful avoidant, just like, I don't know what it is. I think I'm triggered because I had walked in on somebody one time.
Did you?
Yeah, and I think that's what fucked me up. Like, I could never be like this.
Walked in on somebody.
Wait, yeah. On them cheating on
yes.
you? Oh, wow.
As yes. in walked in your house?
No. This was like college time. This was their dorm. So
oh, okay.
And this you was like, were triggered?
Oh. Yeah, so when you said that, I was thinking about, I wish I would fantasize about one of these motherfuckers doing that shit to me. But that's why, but because of that, so like outside of that, I'm sure in certain situations I'm like, I would kind of want to watch both of y'all, but like after that I'm like I mean, just in like if we together, like, and it's just us, but if we decide other shit, I really don't care. Please.
But if y'all have decided,
if we decided,
well, then you're that, lying.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So like, if like to your point where you were like, you know, it would be kind of hot if it was open. But
like low key.
But I always, and like I said, I think it's where I'm at in my communication. People always be lying. Like I'm like, it's okay to do this. And they're like, I ain't doing that shit. And then a week later, you did this. you did say it was okay, but you said you wasn't doing it. And then we like, it's this whole weird back and forth because now I'm policing for no fucking reason, which is what I didn't want to do to begin with. Fearful of void. I ain't got to say nothing else.
Yes.
Here's another question we got. Someone, I won't mention names because y'all didn't give me permission, so I'll respect that. But someone says, I would love to hear Shan's take on polyamorous relationships. If you are with one person in a couple who is engaged to get married, how do I cope with that?
Oh, Santi, this might be a question for you.
They wasn't engaged. Nobody. One of them might have been married.
I mean, so it's a consensual polyamorous relationship where the couple's engaged and they want to join to throuple it, but knowing that they'll be always like tertiary partner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a question you have to ask yourself if that's something you can, again, it's like you have to protect your awesome. I think you have to protect that light that you have.
And they invited to the wedding.
Right. You know what I mean?
They're trying to think how to cope.
And when you
first.
Go to the wedding, well, are you going to be weird? Are you going to feel happy?
Like, well, because that just shows me how close they are. Like, yeah, they invited me to the wedding. And it's like, oh, so you're close to them. So then, well, yeah, girl, just don't make a scene at the wedding. But nah.
You know what has great videos? Jubilee. They have a bunch of those.
Weren't you on that?
I was on Jubilee. Yeah, we had a really great.
Is that the table when they get up and walk away? If they part of the thing? Sorry,
there's like so many Jubilees. There's like several of them. But one of them is where they have like couples just talk about their relationship, like really like honest conversations. But they have a bunch of thruples who will sit and talk about the dynamic. And it's really fascinating. So I would recommend that she watch that to kind of get an idea of like, oh, would I mind being, because there's always, not that there always is, like there's some obviously polyamory that does feel very equal, but there usually is somewhat of a primary couple, even if it is the base couple who was there first. And they might actually like or feel more fond of the person who is new, but there's still that loyalty to the person who was there first. And so that is just asking yourself those questions of would I feel comfortable in that long term? And also too, like good and good for now is still good. I say that all the time. If I go into something that's part of that, you know, small steps, and I love that you said that, like you go out with a couple, you have a great dinner, you do whatever you want to do, and then you leave because you know that that's your threshold. And that's still good. It's a good for now, but it's still a really, really good experience. And if next time you want to do breakfast and you don't like it, don't do it the next time. Right. If you like it, maybe you try that for a couple more weeks. So don't people tend to fast forward so much? Like we're already at the wedding.
Right.
We haven't gotten to the wedding yet. We're just seeing if we're going to even feel good on day one.
And that's the end of the fun anyway.
The wedding?
Yeah. Furthermore, I'm just playing. No,
well,
but
maybe
furthermore,
they might want you to be the cherry on the honeymoon type.
Furthermore, cake. Speaking of usually and polyamory, right? I think that they're definitely, you're doing good work, Shannon, because there needs to be more conversations from people who are, I guess the idea of even talking about something like polyamory with them feels appealing. You look normal and like people that we talk to look, you know what I mean? In your appearance and the things that you do every day. And normally when you see people that represent polyamory or, you know, thruples
swinging
or whatever,
and, yeah,
they always look like the people in TLC shows. Yeah. You know yes. what I'm saying? And it just is, it does. It's a very less than appealing.
Confessions. What was that show?
Taxi cab confessions. Exactly.
No, real sex.
Real sex.
Oh, Real Sex used to be. That was my favorite thing
that?
To sneak and
no,
watch.
Yes, it did.
Real Sex.
HBO.
Yes.
I'll never forget they had a male stripper on there. His name was Slam, which was an acronym for sexy like a motherfucker. I will never, ever, ever forget that.
I won't either.
That's why I was like, oh, so you got to be like cool with how you like, oh, okay. I learned a lesson.
Yeah.
But
that's a good acronym.
I just think that like you're doing great work because we need to be able to take people seriously when this conversation comes up. And I personally, you know, I'm just not interested in, you know, seeing the live action Family Guy, you know, people talking about polyamory. I'm sorry.
No, it's true. The
that
work
was such a perfect picture.
The work you're doing, what I love the most is how you have people reflecting. So much. Like, I always see people in your comments like, damn, you know, I never thought of that, or I never saw myself that way. Like, they would start reflecting on their patterns and their dynamics, even when you did the video on attachment theory, even discussing the way that you and Jared communicate. People being like, wow, like, I could never, or they realize that they probably should try, you know, more than anything.
I would hope that. Sometimes I get the comments a lot of, like, I don't agree with a lot of what you say or a lot of what you preach. I'm like, what do I preach other than like find out what works for you and do that?
Right.
I don't have a prescription.
Find what feels good. That's literally all you ever talk about.
Because me telling everybody to be open is like me saying everyone should be a dentist. It's just like, I don't know what you're good at. I don't know what your strengths are. I don't know what your end goals are in life. The quality of life that you want to have. Like what makes you feel in your joy. So I would never prescribe any advice in this space. But I will tell everybody that like, it's a journey and it doesn't start and end with your astrology chart. Sorry. Like it doesn't start and end with you just like putting it out there that what you want mentally, but never knowing how to pursue that or doing the work on yourself first. Like it is a lifelong process to educate yourself. And if you want to be successful in any area in life, there's a tried and true process of enlisting the help of mentors, reading, trial and error, practicing in low risk environments, being good to yourself, being good to others, and eventually that might lead you to your happily ever after, whatever that consists of for you. But I don't have no prescription of like, here's my values on what people should be doing. I'm learning something new today. That was brand new to me, Asante. So like,
which part?
And I might actually the unicorning.
Oh, the unicorn.
I might actually expand the quiz to like reflect people who are
Asante.
Like, I'm not interested necessarily in a relationship, but I might want to be one, a voyeur, or two, like a passive participant.
Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Casper products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort of all kinds for all kinds of bodies. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper now offers four other mattresses, the Wave, the Essential, the Hybrid Casper, and the Hybrid Wave, all designed, developed, and assembled in the U.S. Casper gets delivered to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. You spend one-third of your life sleeping. Be comfortable with Casper. A nigga like me has a Casper mattress and it's the shit. I love it. I can't wait to get a new one whenever I need one. I've had my mattress for like maybe 2 or 3 years and it's still very sturdy. I don't think I have any like sunken spots or anything. Like I, like, you know, sometimes a bed might get a little weird, but my bed's not weird. Like I think because I've rotated it a bunch of different times and yeah, it's a really good mattress. I can't really say that about the bed that I had before because that shit got like really frumpy and boxy and I didn't know if that was like New York thing or what. But I'm glad I got my Casper mattress now. So you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/zone and using zone at checkout. That's casper.com/zone, code zone. Terms and conditions apply.
We have all been credit shamed. Now, credit shamed is when you have less than desirable credit and everyone treats you like you're radioactive. If you have rough credit, you can avoid it. Players make mistakes, and I, too, have been in positions where I've had to pay a higher interest rate because of those mistakes made by said player.
Me too.
It's not fair, but if you have bad credit, CreditRepair.com can help you work to fix it. They're America's most recognizable credit repair company with crazy smart people, a patented credit repair process, and relationships with all three credit bureaus. That's like the inside track to solving your credit report problems. Past members have seen an average score increase of 40 points in 4 months. Go to creditrepair.com/podcast for your free credit diagnosis. An advocate will pinpoint what's hurting your score and ways to improve it. And if you'd like expert help, I got you a $50 credit off your first fee. Go to creditrepair.com/podcast, creditrepair.com/podcast.
Yeah. See? So I have a question for you, actually. The boundary.
We're going to come back to Striking Vipers because I have a question about Striking that before Vipers.
Which I watched, by the
you
way.
You did? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to come back to that.
The sure. boundary so you set where you're like, okay, this is my edge. This is where I leave. Is it because you experienced something that created that for you, or you just decided that you don't want to go past that?
That part. I just like waking up in my own bed. It's really, and I don't know if something happened at some point that makes me think you always have to go home. But I never stay, and I just never want to. It doesn't matter how comfortable we are.
You must have landed in a wet spot.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Yes, you do. I'm leaving.
Oh my God.
It's just something about me knowing that this is like a vacation. Like, and it just has to end. And sometimes I don't realize, I think couples also teach me something, like things about myself that I really enjoy too. Like when people,
I bet they do.
Like the fact that two people really be into like our conversation or like enthralled by the fact that they have like someone there that's not, you know, each other that they can like talk to about cool shit and all that stuff, I think is really dope. But I never want them to feel like they have that like forever, because I'm not trying to really be around. So I think that's why I leave too. I'm like, all right, well, this was such a great time and a great safe space, but you know, hours up, you know,
yeah.
Something like that.
I like that.
So yes, Striking Vipers. Did you watch Black Mirror, the Striking Vipers
yes,
episode?
It did. Yes.
It's so funny that we keep talking about,
I still can't get over that title.
Right.
Yeah.
It's poetic.
Once it hit yeah. me, like, oh, okay.
I actually laughed later got at the it. Fact that it got you later. It was like I remember later. Chuckling. I was like, I can't believe
I hadn't even seen the show.
It was yeah, the first
I
thing.
I said, Striking Vipers. Right.
It was the first. And I guess it's because I'm a dude. I'm like, it's the first thing. I couldn't get away
I
from
just,
it.
I just, you know.
But
I didn't put it together either. I don't think I actually retained the episode title. So,
okay. Vague, because so yes, much happened.
But that visual that you just did made it clear.
Thank you, Shan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shan. I'm
very good
alone.
Communicator. Yeah. Very clear.
Thank but you.
I just love the conversation that it started towards, you know, at the end of it where, you know, we're talking about if it's good for now. And I thought it was so funny that the wife stayed and she still, you know, she could take her ring off and, you know, do whatever she's doing.
Yes.
As long
I love that ending, first of right? all, because to me, that was the most impactful part. I thought it was going to be the typical, like, how could you do this to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I'm leaving. I'm taking leaving. The kids. You a homo.
And then he's like, you know, ends up with no one.
Right.
But I love that they had a conversation about, okay, well, you can get a little of what you want. And then I can get a little of what I want.
Of yeah. course she was down because she got the good end of the deal. This nigga fucking in cyberspace. Meanwhile, she going down to the bar.
Right. It's so
when she,
and
furthermore, she went back she to that same bar that she went to and she saw she was looking for that nigga that she had seen
at.
That first night.
She knew what
that was. Which sidebar, his name is Austin, the guy who played the first guy that she saw at
he's
the bar.
So fine.
I acted in a web series called Finding Me with him years ago. He's a really, really nice guy. So I was so happy
sure
to see
is.
Him.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see him when he came on screen during that episode. But to me, she got the better end of the deal. She took her ass. When I tell you she was walking, I thought she was going to trip on herself when she was walking back in the bar. She was walking so fast. I was happy for her because she got it. But and his dumb ass just went to go back to that couch. And I think they was lying when they kissed in that parking lot.
Really?
Oh, about mm-hmm. not feeling mm-hmm. it?
See what I'm saying?
You lying.
See, I don't...
You lying.
See, so I thought it was so interesting.
Too edgy for them.
Literally.
Well, I like textually, it wasn't going to be a good kiss regardless.
Because they'd never done it before. They didn't have no
raining,
experience.
It was raining. It was wet. It was like rushed. They didn't want to like it.
They're like in an alley.
In an alley. Yeah.
Like it didn't look like The Notebook just because it was raining. Like right. That was like, and then it was the future. So when the last time.
And it sounded like Good Times. He was talking to him like James Evans, the father on Good Times. He's like, come on over here and kiss me. Come on and do it then. The nigga sounded like the father on Good Times.
You know what? That's the thing too. Didn't they like plan it? Like, let's see if we kiss and some like feel it. Like, they text each other saying, let's meet in the alley and kiss to see if we feel it. That already kills the vibe.
Well, you didn't say that.
You planned it.
But, you know,
it.
We showed up and it's a surprise kiss and it's like, you want to kiss me here? I don't want to kiss you here. Like,
right? It was so gay.
You see that. But honestly, I like the fact that, hey, you're right. The woman, she really won at the end because she got everything she wanted. Like,
everything.
She kept her family, she kept her husband, and she got some new on the side.
She kept it moving.
Because at the,
and that's why I loved it, because she wasn't victimized.
She wasn't victimized. But low key though, the other guy, Yaya, it almost seemed like he got the smallest end because he ain't had no family. So there lonely at home waiting to get his E-dick. And I'm like,
his E-dick.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird. I like the conversation they had. And this goes back into me feeling like men don't have a lot of safe spaces to talk about their sexuality. But like men all the time pick female characters in video games. And like with technology advancing with, you know, the VR and shit like that. It's like, well, when you choose these women characters, like, why are you choosing them now in the VR? And it's like, you're choosing them because you're just used to the fucking characters. But I like that they were making it important that these characters may not have been homosexual, because Anthony Mackie, his character always had the wandering eye. It was like, because I thought he was a creep at first when he was staring at that lady crack in the beginning. I was like, is he a creep? Please.
But it was an accident.
No,
sometimes you can't help but look. I like how they filmed that scene, because I know we know he ain't care about seeing her, but.
Well, that's what I think they were trying to kind of say. Like, he looking at her crack, and then the woman getting out the car in the other scene, he was like staring at her outside. Like, they never showed scenes of him or either one of them really think about men or like even look at objects and be like, oh, penis, or like nothing like that. It was always kind of like, we know we straight dudes, but I like the other guy fucked all, like did e-gangbangs and said none of it added up to that one time with you online in the system. Not like, we did it that one time, we have to do it in real life. Like, it never got to that. And I thought that was so interesting and crazy. But...
Right, because I would have been trying to bang for real.
Exactly. Like, it's like, oh, well, we did this online, so we might as well, you know, rock the bed for real. But they were like, nah, this kiss didn't even do it for me. So just get online. Like, even at the end, I was like, they really is liking this online stuff. This is kind of weird. But that's going to be something, I guess, people get used to in the future. Them sensations and the synapses, whatever the fuck.
That's the thing, is that like, even going to that part of adding in unicorning into that spectrum, like in a way that dude's like a unicorn in their relationship. And he probably is avoidant attached because he looked like he was rich.
I was just going to say that by his lifestyle and the girl that he picked and was having dinner with, that was dismissive,
that
avoidant.
That pinball machine was cute, friend.
He had the sexy house. I was like, that's me right here.
Well, he got rid of that dread wig and upgraded all the way now. I was like, come on now.
But everyone did get what they wanted on their terms.
They did.
Which is a really cool, it was fascinating. Yeah. I thought it was like a weird episode till the end when it all came together. Like, oh, this was beautiful. Even the beginning, that whole, like they were into that voyeurism of we don't know each other. Like, they're just introducing the idea.
My baby likes role play.
Yes.
And like, you do too, apparently.
I do wish I don't know. I get it too. It's only, what, 30-minute episode? Like,
that was an hour?
Oh, because I felt like they had so many layers they could have, like,
really
pulled out.
We really watched it a lot. We saw a long, it was a slow burn. I thought that we actually, to the point, like, Jared was watching it with me and he was like, we get it. We know where this is going.
I knew immediately.
Yeah.
But I still felt like maybe it was the point of them like kissing and being like, oh, I don't feel anything. Let's go back to the VR. I'm like, I don't know. Could have been way more layers to this, but that's where they wanted to take it. I still think it was a good conversation that it brought on the internet, because I saw people reacting, which similar to Insecure, remember, with Yvonne Orji's character, where the guy she was dating, she found out he messed with someone in college, man, and she was like freaking out. I love the conversations that came
out. You know,
I
always ask my homegirls questions about that stuff. I'm like, would you ever date a dude if you knew he sucked a little dick, or if he like showed up with a dress or some shit?
Yeah, I remember like Crystal asked me.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, you know, I've never been put in that position, so I don't want to answer just to say like the politically correct answer. Like, yeah, yeah, right. I love everyone. I don't know until it happens where the guy tells me, yeah, I slept with a man in college, how I would feel.
Right.
But I do know at this point, it doesn't trigger me in any way. Like, I don't feel like I would be like, oh my God, what?
Right. Yes.
Because I just feel like times are different. People are more open to having experiences and these kinds of conversations. I know it's still edgy, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm older. You know, I don't know.
Well, it should be the opposite because you're older. You should be more like
rigid in my ways.
Yeah.
Oh, see, for me, it's the opposite. I feel like the older I'm getting, the more I'm expanding as far as like, what I'm. Yeah.
Same.
Seriously, though.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, okay,
like,
I was waiting for the joke.
Literally and figuratively, right? But like, yeah, I'm under. Sometimes it's not so much about your personal choices and the things that you may be open to, but it's more so about a general understanding of
That's
other
exactly
ways
it.
Of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And so what may have once been like jarring to even think about, you know what I'm saying? Now it's just like, oh, I get why that would work. Or
why that would happen.
Yeah, there have been moments that I've experienced with this person that I guess are akin to that experience. And so I just get it. For me, the more experience I have under my belt, literally, then I get, you know, more open to certain levels of understanding. So, and less judgment, because a lot of this is like,
I would probably say this probably helps so much with that. Conversations that you guys constantly have where you're forcing yourself in essence to have these dialogues with new people about things you never thought about before. And you're always looking for new material because it's definitely not normal for people to go in the direction you're going in. Usually it's like a hole that gets more narrow and narrow. So
right.
Like
that's
I'm setting
really cool.
my ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like mentally that happens to us. It gets harder to learn new languages as you get older. Mm. It gets harder to like new music as you get older. Like your brain, it's even like generationally, you have to fight to keep up with the times to try to make yourself relevant because you want to stay more with like whatever your cultural group was when you were in your teens. Mm. So that's really, really cool and inspiring for everybody who's listening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I love about this show in general. We explore pretty edgy conversations.
Yeah.
Especially dealing within like the mental health. Like I'm of the belief, and you have the science to, you know, to tell me whether I'm wrong or not. I think people, their attractions, a lot of it is so conditioned.
Yes.
So for me, I feel that you could do whatever. Like in your heart of hearts, I really feel that people can kind of be fluid and play within the spectrum. But based on religion, culture, your family dynamics, your neighborhood you grew up in, your friend group, whatever the case, you kind of get a little rigid based on like what you have to do to survive within those dynamics and have those connections, you know, and allow them to thrive. So the fluidity, that's why if someone were to come to me and say, like, I messed with a guy in college, when I think of that fluidity that I personally believe in, that's why I wouldn't be surprised. Mm. If anything, I'd be surprised that he explored it and then is telling me in all honesty. That's probably the most jarring part that I would experience from that conversation. But I feel like people are down for whatever, or they in their heart of hearts can be down for whatever.
But we also live in New York City. And the reality is that this is a far more progressive place to exist.
That's true, too.
And so the majority of people don't live in cities like this. The majority of people still live in the cities that they grew up in, which means that they're prone to judgment from like their parents, friends and the people in the church and like all of that shit. And so they're very fearful of doing things that are unorthodox or considered left of center, according to whatever the moral code is where they grew up.
And you can still be happy within your given moral codes. So
yeah, well, I could.
Right.
I had to get on down the road.
Literally.
I'm telling you, I was like, you know what? This might work for y'all, but that's all. I'm out of here. So,
but you know, people who are on Jared went to church this weekend and he used to go to like a really repressive church. Mm-hmm. And so his dad still goes. And so he went for Father's Day. And the message, for whatever reason, on Father's Day was, and this is the Christian adapted version of homosexuality, that it's okay to be gay, but you don't have to act on it. It's not okay to act on it.
Oh,
you can be gay all you want and God will still love you, but you just can't act on it. And the guy was saying, like, I have a wife and she knows I'm gay. Like, we are aware, like, I am a gay man.
Wait, the pastor was saying
this?
Yes,
he said he's never been attracted to his wife a day in his life.
Wait a minute.
But
what?
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
Where is this church?
No,
I'm never mind. Dude, we'll talk about that.
Was this on April 1st? What Sunday was this?
Father's Day.
Baby, what? I bet it was Father's Day. You know, I wonder if that was a Father's Day sermon. What a dog whistle. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
if anybody else in the room,
daddy,
there will be a meeting, a support group meeting.
Friday at midnight.
Room 108. Yeah.
Don't mind the holes.
Don't mind the holes.
Really? Wow.
He
what a church.
Wow. My word.
Wow,
but
Shannon.
That makes me sad.
Yeah. But I mean, there's many ways to experience joy. And so I think that if you don't have to max out everything in your life.
Yeah.
I don't think like if you max out your career, maybe you max out your faith in God, maybe you max out your body. Like not everything has to be lived to the fullest. And you can still find joy within some given societal structure.
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still like, how did we go past that?
I'm coming back to that. As soon as we hit in, I'm like, okay, so what's going on?
Let me ask you one last question from our listeners. So this young person says, do we really attract what we put out, or has the current dating culture given people a pass to be assholes? I've been pursued by and have dated men that say they're not ready for a relationship, and I don't understand it, and it's left me feeling inadequate.
That's your fault.
I mean, there's a higher frequency of, I think, non-ethical daters, and it depends on their age as well, too. Like at a certain age, we live in a society that really promotes the ideals that relationships are a waste of time, and that relationships are a distraction to school, distraction to self-betterment, mm-hmm. And they make you make decisions that are not in your overall ultimate best self. And so if you're in your early 20s, and I refer to them as motel daters, where it's people who are like, I'm only here for the night. Fuck it. I'm taking the towels and the shampoo. I don't care. Like, and it's just that almost messy transaction that goes down. And so when you're young, it's very difficult to find an ethical dater who's like, yo, even if we're not going for forever, let's both try to get to know ourselves better by being good to one another.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's literally it. Oh my God.
But you just got to increase your filtration. I think like when I was like on the scene, there was this one dude, I went out with him and we had a really great night and he washed my car for me. Ooh. We were on a rooftop and it was as if the moon turned or something, but all of a sudden he just got super sexual with me.
Oh boy.
And it was like, he was all over me and he was like, come downstairs to my apartment. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Just kept like trying me.
I washed your car.
And I was like, you know what?
Transactional man.
I went back to my car, masturbated, and then unmatched with him on the dating app. And I'm like, I know what this is. I see, like, I was into it.
Did you wave the panties out the window as you drove off?
No. Like,
wish he was going to have it, but you can't.
It was just, I know what this experience is. I'm not interested in that. And so you get those warning signs, I think, as long as you're open to paying attention to those.
Yeah.
And you have to know when to pull out and say, ah, man, you're not in the same thing. Still cool, and it would be nice to, and good for now was still good. Mm. I still revere that as a positive experience. And I actually hired that guy years later. And a project that I did as an actor.
Oh, shit. Wow, Shan.
Right.
I thought I was a forgiving soul.
I mean, that's a boss, a true city girl. Where are you, Shannon? Where are you from, Shannon?
Toronto.
Toronto,
the
okay.
World champions in basketball.
Hey. Yeah, yeah.
So I would say, yeah, you just got to increase your filtration system. I'm not going to gaslight people and say like, it's all you. It statistically is a really bad time for people to be making connections, but that doesn't mean it can't happen for you.
Right.
But what about another experience I had where I was trying to take it slow and really stay present and be like, let's just feel each other out. I'm slow. I'm not the person that hits the other person to ask, like, what are we doing? What are we? I'd rather it just build to what it needs to build.
Yes.
I'm also a Taurus, so I'm slow moving. But this person was the one that insisted.
Mm-hmm.
And, they weren't too pushy about it, but I did see that it was important to them. And I kept that in mind, wanted to be mindful of that. Eventually, I was like, you know what? Things were going well, so I gave in. And they were the ones that were bringing up the exclusivity and really being clear about boundaries, what they wanted and they didn't want. But then turned out to not be that person at all.
Damn.
And so filtration is a little bit hard when people put on this persona, you know, of like maybe ideally that is what he wanted. I don't know. But my question is, how do you navigate filtration when people, for the most part, aren't even really stepping into these dating dynamics the way that they want to truly be in? Like, why didn't he just tell me straight up, let's be open, but I want you in my life?
It's difficult, though, because it's like, I'd have to like, it's just so many people say that, and then they mention a conversation that actually was truly revealing. And or, I mean, not in this case with you, but it could be that the person said, hey, let's take things slower. And then maybe you said, okay, cool. Like, let's see other people still. And that's a fear of theirs because they really value you. And so they make a commitment that they aren't ready to make because they don't want you to make a move that they don't, that they're not comfortable with.
Right.
And so it becomes twofold where now they're, so I just think, I know people to be a lot more honest than people give them credit for. I think a lot of people actually say what it is in the beginning and they might start to skew their answer as they can see what works for you. When they can start to see the light bulbs go off in your head when you say certain things, then they start to like try to position themselves in such a way. But I honestly think that we kind of know in the heart of our hearts. Some people are masterful deceiver.
When I tell you masterful, and I'm someone that I pride myself on giving people room to be, like, I like you to come into my space as you are, so that I don't start telling stories and creating like narratives of who you are and what this is going to be like too quick. So I pride myself on that. So it really kind of caught me off guard because in a way it was like, you didn't even have to do that. Like you literally created your own jail, like a, you know, like he did that to himself. He's the one that said relationship boundaries. I never brought up that conversation.
Yeah, there's a really great book that I love that's called like Dark Psychology, like Mind Manipulation. I think everyone should read that as like a precursor into dating, just so you see what the warning signs are of love flooding, which it sounds like he was a love flutter. And so learning those off the top, just so you can be aware of them. I mean, R. Kelly's been doing this shit for 25 years for a reason. Like there's a formula that he did that worked consistently on different partners and he was able to make people feel always like it was their idea. So I think that those people exist, but you just have to get really good at knocking them out. Cause I would prefer to live in a world where I know I have some semblance of control than to say that people are just going to be masterful at trickery.
Right.
So always put yourself in a position of empowerment to say, what could I have done better? What were the warning signs? Where was I at mentally? Because sometimes too, we have so many problems in our life and then we get somebody who seems to be a solution. And then psychologically we become hinged on them. Without really assessing like, okay, is this a true, healthy, intimate bond? So there's all types of things to think about before you get to the place where it's like, everyone's a liar and shitty and nobody can satisfy me in the end. Men ain't shit.
And speaking of empowerment and feeling empowered, like there's something very empowering about just being honest from the gate, right? And I think that I know speaking for myself, that's a lesson that I had to learn through experience. You know, you could tell me all day long that you know, it's best to go into a relationship or go into a new introduction with someone in that way, in that capacity, being honest about everything. But it's something that you only learn by watching how other people's relationships turn out, watching how situations have gone down with you personally. And you learn that there's something freeing about literally coming into someone's life fully transparent about who you are, where you are, all of those things, right? And when you don't have to lie about anything, and this is a lesson that I only know through like being honest about even my sexuality with people, right? When you are free of that burden of having to like keep something a secret, that's when you can really perform and like function at your highest level. So when you apply that to dating, that's where the real nugget is.
I think people too, like we all need drama. So beware of people who don't have an exciting job, who don't have like some healthy level of stress in their life. Yeah. And so they might look to create that level of dramatics in their love life. And so when I meet some people who, you know, have a monotonous 9-to-5 job or work in a factory and like they have this tumultuous love life in many ways, I'm like I have an abusive relationship with my career. Like that's already on check. It's like, you know what I mean? It's an inconsistent lover. Like it's just shows up when it wants to. Like it leaves me on read receipts at all times. So
fucks
I
you
already
good.
Have that. You know what I mean?
Right, fucks you good and don't call.
Yeah.
So I don't seek that out in my romantic life, but some people, they don't have that the other way around. So I just would be like mindful of those. It's just all, I mean, looking back, what was the thing that you're like, I missed that red flag.
With that partner?
Yeah.
Man. I can't call it. That's what threw me off because it was like, damn. And you know who this person is. He's awesome. Mm-hmm, like, we're friends.
Yeah.
We still talk because we realize, like, we're awesome as long as romance isn't involved. And he's great. We've, like, worked it out. Even when I found out things that he was doing, I remember he thought I was a psychopath, a sociopath, because I was like, let's sit. And he was like, I thought you were going to stab me. He said I was so calm that it like really made him nervous. So he said he was like kind of bracing himself to get up and run out the apartment. Because I was like, let's talk about this. Like, why are you bringing this energy into this relationship when I literally gave you the floor? Like, why is this what you're choosing to come into this with when I am not giving you any of that? Like, there's...
And you didn't see signs of that in any of their other relationship styles or any of their other dynamics?
Not at all. That's what I'm saying. It just made no sense. He's just masterful. He was really good at doing it for so long. And then when he met me, I think that's where it kind of hit the wall. Like, okay, I got to cut this shit out. And he said, you know, after me, I clearly had to be the guinea pig again. Because after me, now he steps into his relationships and kind of lets them know, like, okay. Because he's not going to repeat that shit. Mm. You know what I mean? And
so see, that's the shit that would piss me off right there. Don't be having no better life because of the shit that I taught you.
But it's fine. I mean, you know, that's what it is. I know I've gotten better.
So he's like a pre-version of you almost.
Oh, well.
Right?
Never mind.
Yeah. He's a less evolved version where you can't recognize the language of like, I want to be prioritized. I want to be first. I want to feel special. But I want that with several people.
Right.
Because that makes me feel celebrated and loved. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, he just felt like he had to tell that same lie narrative to each person.
Right. And now he is so much healthier.
You need a full ass episode on that. I think it's so fascinating. I could have like listened to that like for an hour.
Thank you, Shannon.
So many questions.
Your face is so cute.
Thank you, Shannon. You know when the experts tell you you're on to something, you're on to something. You know what I'm saying?
Then the last thing, because you kind of set it up perfectly when you're talking about people who have pretty monotonous lives and then tumultuous relationships. I did see a conversation on Twitter that was happening today. I think it was Esther Perel.
Love her
so much. She was recently on Death, Sex. What is it? Death, Sex, and Money, the podcast.
Oh, podcast.
No, not the show. Sorry, definitely check her out. She's like
magic. She's also on Red Table Talk recently, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so she's having a little promo tour.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But they were discussing that you can't have, and I'm not saying that this is what she said, but they were bringing in theories from her book to kind of like back their thoughts. But they were saying that you can't have passion and stability in a relationship, that it's usually either or. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go into the passion, just know that it tends to be fleeting. You know, it's not something that can, think about it, a fire, can it burn forever? Like, that's what makes it exciting. Whereas stability, you might not get the passion, but at least you know that that is like your foundation. So do you agree with that?
I'm sorry.
You not have both?
No, clap it up.
To me, passion is the root of it all. What's the point? Stability, I guess for some people, maybe that does just work. But to me, you will always long for some sort of spark, some sort of excitement, some sort of feeling that makes you come alive. Like the monotonous nature of just, I guess, stability. Like, we both have jobs. We were able to purchase a home together. We good. You know, this thing is going to stay afloat forever. Maybe that is enough for some people, but I crave the spark.
Spoken like a true, casual, non-committed dater.
Thank you. I try to keep it real.
But what happens when you crave both?
That's what I mean. Like, you're the dentist telling everyone that the dentistry is the best field ever. It's not the best for everybody. For some people, the stability really is what they crave. And honestly, I feel like my relationship is a hack for that, because there is still this notion that there's this lack of, I don't know what this person's going to do. I don't have control over them. And so that excitement that my partner's still separate from me and can possibly, and I can possibly, I think still creates that passion and creates that separation. And so what she was really saying is, like, Esther's whole thing is like, you can't, I mean, love creates, craves comfort, but like lust craves distance. And so, and the unknown. And so that she has all these dichotomies. And she was saying back in the day, we used to live in these really complex societies where you didn't spend so much time at home with one partner. And we didn't expect our long-term partners to be our be-all and end-all. People still had side pieces. They still had friend groups. Like, they still had social outings. They were probably still living with family. And so we had so many outlets for intimate connections, and now we're becoming so much more isolated and asking more of our partners, where it's difficult to do that because the closer you are to somebody, the harder it is to create that space where desire can exist. So you got to find a way to hack the system, I think, in your own way. I found that for me. I think it's up to everyone to find out what works for them. But also for some people, passion is a priority.
Yes,
other people's
Lord.
Stability is a priority. And so what's important to you? And if it's a mix of both, maybe you got to find
both.
That's why you got to be in the monogamish, the open-ish, like,
you and that's the hack that you're saying you guys found, where you were saying you could talk on the phone with someone that stimulates you, because it's like, okay.
Yeah. And then I come back and I feel like, oh, like, this is like, there's this secret between me and my partner now, or something I want to share with them, or like maybe that when I was away, like, you know, like, I always ask, oh, did you watch porn? And I love to see what porn he watched. I'm like, oh, you got off to this person. Like, there's just little things I like to do to know that, like, I always, if he goes to a club, like, who'd you flirt with? Who, like, who tried to flirt with you? I love that shit.
Oh, my
so.
God.
Me too, so I can beat they ass when I see them. On sight.
But have you found, especially the fact that we're hyper-visible, I always imagine, like, my partner flirting with someone and then the girl, like, DMing me, like, I love you, friend. I just have to let you know that, like, I saw your boyfriend and it was at the club. Because obviously the dynamics that you have with your partner are not for public consumption.
Right.
It's not like you talk about it because it's part of your career. But I don't know that I would be online being like, so me and my partner in an open relationship.
Right.
So how would we work through the social media aspect of the fact that we are hyper-visible with brands and are probably going to have fans that bump into our partners potentially and maybe one of their
Well, you got to ask Will and Jada because they've done it successfully for years, right? And there's only been rumors about it.
They
stick with people who are in their community, who are in the know, like who there's a network of trust with them. And so you're not going to be the person at the club probably. You're not going
to
be
so
that
maybe
person.
That'll be the boundary that'll
have
to be
they'll just be a certain tier of person. It's those who know. Those who don't.
That is so sexy. For real.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's like that movie with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. What's the, you know, where they have the masks and it's like the secret society, the sex society. Oh my God. You don't know?
Yes. Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Which I wanted to say, I don't know Will and Jada's relationship. You know,
right?
Confirmed.
No. Allegedly.
But I also hope. I think that would be really cool if it was like that.
Me too, because I ain't even. Well, let me be quiet. I'm telling too much of my business. wish. Okay. I'm gonna change my name to Asante. Okay, when I get over to the Smiths. Anyway, go ahead.
How do people work through the emotions that come up? Like I was saying, how I love the fact that it's challenging. What advice do you have for people when they feel those emotions bubbling up of like inadequacy, like the young lady said? How do you work through that? What's your advice within a relationship dynamic?
Pepto-Bismol.
I feel like you got to kind of love it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you have to.
Your humanness, right?
Exactly. You have to love your humanness. Like, I love listening to teenage girls talk about their crushes. And they're like, I haven't eaten in weeks. I write all these weird short stories about him. I write these poems. And you're like, I remember that. Like, that's so cool. Like, even when you're watching someone go through heartbreak, you're like, you'll be fine. Like, I know what's going to happen to you. You'll be okay. And it's just enjoy that, the humanity of it. Enjoy getting to know yourself in a different way and enjoy the conversation that it prompts. And if you don't, that's what tradition is for, right? That's what structured boundaries are for, so that you can be where stability was really important to you. So know yourself. Like, I know I love that shit. You love it. So that's an area that we may be comfortable playing in. But for somebody else, like, don't. For the quiz, for example, there was like 30,000 people who took it, and majority.
30,000?
Yeah. Gone, Shambooty. All right.
Over 40% were modern monogamous.
Wow,
so
really?
It can sound like, because there's four of us here at the table with all very like open perspectives.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people still just want what they've seen on TV.
Yes.
And so if that's what you want, find someone else like that.
Wow. 40% of 30,000 people.
Wow.
Hey.
Who knew? I would have thought.
Squat up. But nah, see, we didn't have your category before. And
I'm,
now...
I'm half.
Hey.
Okay.
And your book. Let's go back to that. How will your book help this conversation, honestly? Like, what do you think people are going to get from this book?
I would say in simple terms, it sets you up for success. Just like in the same way that you went through X amount of years of school, trial and error, getting to know yourself, finding your niche. And then school is a process of elimination of finding where you are, where your skill set is best celebrated. And I think I'm giving people the opportunity with this book to go through a similar step-by-step process to figure out, okay, where is my best? Who is my best? Who am I? Who's my best self? Who does that person need to be with? What do I got to do to attract that kind of person? And how do I have fun in the process of finding and narrowing down who my person is within this chosen group? So I think it's setting people up for success to enjoy dating, to be in the driver's seat, and to feel fucking desired while they do it. I don't know what the result will be for you. With the six women that I worked with, there was a variety of results. Some people ended up in relationships. Some people ended up in their first queer experience, which for them, that was a really scary territory they'd never embarked on.
It must have been Saturday night.
It was a slow process because this person also struggled with a lot of mental issues. And so that was another hurdle to overcome. And somebody had set an intention in the beginning of like an ideal crush, like a archetype. You know how we all have like our Michael B. Jordans. And in the end, she got an opportunity with that person and got to really like experience that. And
nice. I was like,
so there was a variety of different ways this can go. There's not a one size fits all, but it's just a matter of like, hey, like this is an area that you can actually have control over. If you told me like, I want to get good at cooking, we could do something about that. And if you tell someone I want to get good at dating, it's not a matter of just be yourself. Like there is something else you can do and you can have a lot of fun doing that.
I love that. Thank I love you. Too what you're saying about her ending up with like in a queer experience, because I think too for me it's been not trying to control what this person is supposed to be or look like or what they
are
do.
Are you dating somebody in the queer community?
I'm not dating anybody. But oh, I'm wow. saying I'm just not. I'm not limiting myself in any way. I just want to feel. Like energetically,
I can
if
hear
the connection,
all of the studs braiding up there.
Oh, they've already been hitting me. No, but I feel. But I've said this on the show before.
Oh my God.
We're not taping today.
What I'm saying.
I look at Shannon.
I cannot. How did you on the spot think of I can hear all the studs braiding up?
I'm going to give me some hate for a hair.
Oh, Jesus. But I've said this before. This isn't new. That I'm just interested in whoever feels good.
Yes.
And I need to stop trying to control what that looks like, what that, you know, appears to be. Because also we have to consider our patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my patterns, if I look back, like there were patterns that I followed and I don't want to. Well, you have to break them at some point if I want to experience something different. So I think that's going to be the exciting part of jumping back in.
Speaking of jumping, she has
present.
Brothers to everybody that's listening. So before you step up to the plate, just
you
know you
so
will
funny.
Get your ass whipped
okay.
around here.
You want to talk about your filtration
doing
system.
Friend. That's right. Just FYMFI, just so y'all know, don't do it wrong.
Have you ever loved somebody that Fran loved?
No.
Like love
but I
for
always
her.
Oh well yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
I haven't.
Absolutely.
I'm happy as long as she's happy, but I'm just really excited about what's next because I feel like her next, if there is a next move to be made, it'll be an experience that, you know, I'll be excited to witness and to always be on her shoulder. Over her shoulder in her ear, because I'm never moving from that perch.
You are so funny. Yeah. I'm excited to just be more present. More conscious, like everything I've learned, like I think that's what you were tying into what you were just saying. The relationships teach you so much, like even if it didn't work out or it was hell or whatever we dealt with, it was like it added to my artillery in a lot of ways, upgraded my software. My spaceship is like, okay, on to the next chapter, you know, the next iteration of Fran. And to me, that's exciting. So that's why I'm friends with him, because while I was angry, I was also thankful, and I can be both because I like this version of Fran, and I think I'm gonna move forward with such, like, I'm so excited to step forward with what I learned from being with him. So how could I hate him in a lot of ways?
I receive that intention, but I always say that, like, there's two kinds of lessons in life. There's lessons that we had to learn through experience because it informed us about a part of ourselves that we wouldn't have known elsewise,
right?
And there's lessons that, like, I could have guessed I wouldn't have liked that.
Right,
like I could have told myself before that, like, you probably wouldn't have liked gotten spat on, not the vibe, like, probably wouldn't like getting chlamydia, like, not a...
not like that.
Like, whenever someone says, like, I don't regret any relationship, when I hear people say, like, we are still friends, we broke up, I wish them the best, like, you know, in Diddy and Cassie, where he put a post up of her and her new man, it was like, I'm really happy for you. Like, those are relationships that you're like, yes, I don't regret, because I... had an incredible time with a great person who was, you know, right in many ways, just not right for me.
Right, yeah.
But the ones that you're like going through hell, losing yourself, losing your sanity, only to crawl back to a former version of yourself to try to start back over again.
It just
regret
don't make
those.
Sense. Yeah. Look,
yeah. Regret those
I'm so
ones.
Thankful.
Yeah. No,
it just don't make sense.
Well, that's the thing. You guys know pretty much all my exes. They're all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I pick great men. It's just
that's
that
it's so cool.
I love them all.
Definitely
I'm proud
reflections
of them.
On you, but
they're such,
you know,
reflections.
They didn't end up with her. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I look back, like if they were all to walk into this room, I'd be proud.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be proud. Yeah. I'd be proud of
you,
like
win
what
the
they
game
say.
Of desire, friend.
For real.
You win.
Because it says a lot. And I'm excited for them, excited for me. And so that's why I'm like, it's all good. Like I'm friends with most of them.
They can walk in one by one and you just go, I did that.
Yes.
That's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling. And they're all fine and shit too, but that's another conversation.
I want to see Hallway Bay. Too. I want to see Gym Bay.
Oh my God, I know. Bay. But are you guys are dating-ish right now? They both
is you
away.
Dating Asante?
Huh?
Is you dating?
I'm single.
I'm ready to mingle.
I'm single.
Are you ready to mingle? Are you where Fran's at where you're like, let's do it.
Let's get
Let's see
it.
Where it
I've
goes.
Always passively dated. It's been hard for me to actually be like, you know what? Yeah, like I've liked people. It's been less people that I pursued as of late. But there have been people that I thought were cool. But nobody have been like, we need to be together. I've been hurt a lot in the past. So I'm kind of like not really doing that right now. That's why the couples is like great. So yeah, I am dating couples.
I love that.
That's so cool.
I'm going to continue down that path.
Mm.
Me and guys, if somebody shows
You're three
up.
Three for three.
What you mean?
You said three relationships you've experienced.
Yes.
All positive.
And look, if they all three walked in the room right now, if all three of them
You'd
couples, I actually would be proud.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, it starts when you're looking at the man, you're like, damn, he fine as hell. And then you see the girl too, it's like, oh, that's why, you know, they together. But then you don't think you got a chance. But then they're like, oh my God. And it's the energy exchange. Yeah, I'm three for three. Yeah,
that's
you're
so
right.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Dustin.
I'm happy for him too.
Dating?
In the literal sense of the word, yes. I love going on dates. It's one of my favorite things to do, Shannon.
Oh, agreed. Yes.
I love dating. So, yeah, I'm always down to go on a date.
Dates are
it's
awkward.
Look, it's a Friday and a Saturday every weekend.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, hey.
Dates are so awkward. It's like, I don't know. I find them a little
Friend,
bit
you don't
cheesy.
Be having fun, though. Like,
right now.
You look nice. They look nice.
They're a little
nice.
Bit cheesy. I don't know. I wish there was a different way to
you
go about it.
You finally get that time with the cute person that you've been, like, wondering, having so many curiosities about.
But, you know, I've also never been a big dater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there are certain people that they go on dates regularly. They meet, like, all these people. Anytime I've gone on a date, every single time, that's turned into a, you know, long-term relationship.
But you're a professional. Like, you have so many strangers come and sit beside you that you have to create this bond with in 2 hours. And so
true.
This is a date. We know each other before.
Right.
So our love is real.
Yeah.
This is a slow burn chemistry. But you do this all the time. Like,
right.
You have so much more experience than the average person.
That's true, too.
True. So the bar's a little bit higher.
That's true.
As far as you being excited by the communication with a person.
Right. I guess I just
I
don't know. And also, the people I choose, I tend to, like, know already in some capacity. You know, I've never, like, blindly had dinner with someone where we're starting from scratch, where I'm, like, asking who you are and what you do. I've never
done
that.
But Hallway Dude would be like that.
He would be, yeah.
Yeah, because you avoided the opportunity to
organically
do that.
Which is why I dodged him when I saw him on the train. I was like, oh, no.
I don't want to know what you do yet.
I don't want to know your favorite color. But Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. Booty. Such a pleasure.
This is so great.
Do you guys have
Thank
anything
you so
else
much,
you want to ask before we get out of here?
Are you coming back before your book is released?
I mean, I would love to be back. I honestly would just stay here. I feel
Please.
Really good about this. I feel good about this
dynamic.
This is
dynamic. An amazing
yes.
episode.
I feel
yes.
really, really happy together.
It hasn't even dropped, and this is probably one of my top.
We work.
Oh, shit.
We all work together.
Yeah, this does.
Because you saw the flow. It was just like bang, 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 bang. I love when
I
that
learned
happens.
A lot. I learned a lot. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I just do a final plug and say,
absolutely.
Please
go to
talk to our listeners.
Yeah.
TheGameOfDesire.com/letsgo. And if you fill out the form there, there is actually a place for a promo code. And if you put in zone, let's say zone. If you buy or pre-order a book, I will get you a second one on top of that.
Man.
Oh, nice.
That's amazing. For my pre-order fam, because it's such a beautiful gift to pre-order a book from somebody.
Right,
it's such a, I never, ever like neglect to recognize how cool that is for someone to say yes, and I'll see you in a month.
Right.
Like, that's really cool. So thank you.
July 23rd.
Yes.
July 23rd, Game of Desire. Oh my God. How do you feel, first of all?
I feel great. I mean, it's what we do, right?
Right.
It's an abusive relationship, but we stay in it. We stay in it.
Was the process brutal?
The process was brutal, but in the most like loving, it was a great, healthy relationship. I learned a lot about myself. Again, shout out to Deshaun, who taught me a lot about myself. The experience, the women in the group is who I'm most excited for people to meet. Like those to me, like they're the miracles of the book. Like all the information is fun, but they are the part that you're going to remember forever.
And how'd you come up with this idea for the book?
You know what? Actually, like short story for this, it was like I was at Penn Station and I was just people watching because it's the most miserable experience at Penn Station at rush hour.
Sure is.
And you're watching people who understand human connection, those who don't. And you're just watching the subtle things that someone does to make people drawn to them, to make the eye drawn to them. People who just make life hard for themselves.
Yeah.
And wow, I was like, Shane, people don't learn this shit anywhere. And that was like the spawning of the idea.
That's so beautiful. That's
amazing. I can't wait to read it. I want to know what happened to all six of the women.
Yes.
Like I'm already, you know, I've already bought into the story.
I'm telling you, I read the first 15 pages and was glued. So this book is great. Shannon, you're brilliant.
Yes,
oh,
you
no,
are.
Thank you. We're brilliant together.
Thank you.
This was fun.
They love you. Anytime I talk to people about us being friends, they're always like, of course you guys are friends.
Yes.
She's so awesome. And the way you break down information so that we can absorb it with ease, like you're gifted. Thankful that you would come on the show. Good luck with your book, Shannon.
Thank you.
Yes, best of luck
with
that.
We're so
gonna be a
excited
success.
For you.
Yep.
And where this is going to go. And the book tour.
This is a really long outro, guys. We just keep on affirming each
other.
We
don't want you to go, Shannon. Damn.
It's the love. And let's clap for the book tour that's going to happen, too.
Yay!
Put it out there in the universe.
Game of Desire, Shannon Boodrum. Good night, guys. We love you so much. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week.
Well, bye.
You want to say it?
Oh, stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
MAC Powder Kiss Lipstick is matte reinvented. The new matte formula is where matte meets moisture, giving you the zero shine look of a matte lipstick with the instant long-term hydration and a weightless cushiony texture. The velvety soft matte colors glide on effortlessly with a wide range of shades for wide lips that are sure to complement any skin tone. Head to your nearest MAC location to meet your matte today or shop at MACcosmetics.com.